Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 70 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinsey, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. To celebrate episode 70, Comic Timing has itself a crossover with Brad and Frank of Half Hour Wasted as we discuss comic book collecting. Do we CGC or not CGC? That is the question. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 70 of Comic Timing. Well, we got a nice jam-packed house here of four. Well, it's not quite that jam-packed, but anyway. We're joined here by the co-host, not co-host, co-host, who is high on sugar so he won't fall asleep in the middle of the call. It's Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
I promise I'll talk really fast so you can understand me.
Thank you very much.
I'm high on sugar.
Yay. What's going on, Mr. Camp Counselor?
Not much, I'm just high on sugar. Ooh.
Whee! And we're also joined this episode by both members of the Half Hour Wasted podcast, and hopefully they'll be wasting a little bit more than a half hour here, because when was the last time we actually had a half hour show on Comic Timing? It is Frank A. Rincon and Brad Milo. Hey, guys.
Hey, Ian. This is Frank.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
That's Brad. What's going on, fellas?
Well, this is weird not being in a studio with Brad. I'm so used to he's making ugly faces at me, and I'm trying to call my mom saying he's making faces at me and you know, all that nonsense. Are we recording?
Frank's usually giving me the little, he makes the little circle with his finger like, okay, wrap it up, dude. You've talked too much. Wrap it up. We need to move on.
Well, now all you get to see are each other's Skype pictures, which are nice and static. They don't actually move. So if you need to look at Brad, at least you could just look at your window. All right, Frank? So you're good.
Brad, your picture looks like a mugshot.
Yeah, you've got a fake smile going on in that picture.
Yeah,
I've never seen
I'm
that smile
bitter.
In person.
I'm a bitter, bitter man.
I've got a cape in mine.
Lucky.
Flying. Ooh.
And yeah, yours is kind of puffed up, Ian. It's kind of, it looks like you got a fan going on you. I mean, your picture looks pretty good.
That was taken actually at the Brooklyn, I believe it's called the Brooklyn Superhero Center, where it's a learning center where they also have a superhero store in the front.
And I have heard about this place, and they have these great writing programs mm-hmm. in them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got a nice thing set up in the front of the store where you put on a cape, you turn on these like fan machines, and you take awesome pictures of yourself as if you're Superman.
I with that's, the writing they have that superhero it's called the Superhero Warehouse, and you can get like your gravity in a can or mm-hmm. stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of a joke part, but in the back there's a writing workshop for kids, and when they take your ID you have to put on these big Clark Kent glasses, and they take your picture and they make a badge out of it for you.
That's great. I actually got the secret identity kit from there, so I've got like this like telescope cane that came with it that is really, really cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yes.
I'm still hung up on gravity in a can. What the heck is that?
gravity in a can is you stick Mike Norton in a can. That's basically the way that works.
I get it.
There is no can big enough in all the world to contain Mike Norton.
That's what I've heard.
Yes, yes.
He is uncannable.
He's uncannable.
Ooh, uncannable.
He's uncanny.
No, he is definitely he's the uncannable Mike Norton, and that comic book is going to come out soon, I guarantee.
So he doesn't need
him. I'd buy it. I'd buy it. I would not wait for the trade on that one.
Good.
I would not collect that.
Hey, and actually, speaking of collecting, yeah, what a segue. What a segue right there, folks.
Did you write that?
No, I didn't, sadly enough. All this goes on in this diseased skull of mine.
It's not that funny.
I'm that's such a diseased skull. I don't know why that struck me as funny. Oh, man.
Well, it sounds like a
half hour of back matter that's going to be wasted on this episode.
Oh!
Wait a second.
Well,
if I understood that, I'd be angry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. It's a good thing you cut out there, because I'm not sure what you said.
Repeat, Brent.
I said it's good. There's going to be a half hour of back matter wasted on this episode.
Ah. Touche.
Yes, funny the first time.
Back my anniversary.
Oh, you know French, Brad? Parlez-vous.
Oui.
So,
omelette du fromage.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the omelette du fromage reference. I love that episode of Dexter.
No, that was a Steve Martin reference on my behalf. I've never seen Dexter.
Oh, okay. I guess Dexter referenced Steve Martin on that one then.
Perhaps.
I love Dexter. Yeah,
there was an entire episode of Dexter's Laboratory where he couldn't do nothing but speak the words omelette du fromage. Anyway, let's roll it back to comic collecting, shall we? And this is exactly what was posted on the forums in a planned crossover with Half Hour Wasted. Comic timing goes into comic collecting versus comic buying. How much care do you take with the comics you purchased? Have there been any comic books you bought simply to buy and not to read? If so, why? What is the most expensive comic in your collection, and do you ever plan on selling it when the price is right? Where do you store your comics? Do you read your books once and put them away, or do you let them accumulate to read multiple times before filling? Do you CGC your books or plan on using the service? Let us know how you read, what you read, and what you do afterwards, and of course, we'll read what you write on the show, and there are a couple comments we'll read later on, but I guess we will start first with Mr. Frank A. Rincon. How do you collect your comics?
How do I collect them? Well, there are certain titles that I do like to get, and I get them through mail subscription. I use discount comic book services. I do not bag. I do not board. I do let them accumulate and then read maybe three or four at a time. And I am a frequent seller on eBay. I'll usually, if a run doesn't do anything for me, if I get kind of bored with it, I'll just sell it. Mm-hmm. I am not a hardcore collector.
I enjoy
the reading. I enjoy reading them, mm-hmm. and if the story really really touches me, I will hold on to it. But I'm pretty good about giving them, you know, selling them or giving them away.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the physical object is not as important as the story itself for you.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's probably a good way to go about it, because I mean, at least you're getting something out of it. You know, before you do whatever you want to do with the issue itself.
Yeah, because with me, it's more about just the story itself. Now, I don't own any original artwork, but I know Brad does. If I own like an original page, that's a one of a kind thing. I would take very good care of that. But for me, comic books are, you know, my philosophy out, they should be read. They should be, you know. It's like a book. A well-worn book is a great thing because it's been read and reread, and that's because it's been loved so much. It's meant to be read and opened and looked at.
Right. No, I understand completely your take on that there. So over to Brad we go, and well, first off, yeah, same question I asked Frank. How do you collect your comics?
Well, let me ask you guys. Is it possible to be a collector and a reader? I think it is, because I do both. Have I ever bought comics just to buy them? Rarely. I can't say that I've never done that, because I can't honestly remember that I ever haven't. I may buy a couple of copies of certain issues, but okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think I've ever purchased a comic just to buy it for collecting purposes.
No, I think it's actually very possible to be a collector and a reader, because that's in essence what I do. I mean, it's very hard for me to switch from, say, for example, if I start reading a book monthly, it's hard for me to switch over to trade, because I already have those issues, and actually, you know, switching over to trade just doesn't really seem right to me, so I've sort of started on that. I'll probably stick with that.
I'm the same way. I rarely buy trades when it comes to books that I get monthly. If I start buying a book in trade, I'll keep buying it in trade, as opposed to starting to pick it up monthly. I'm pretty anal when it comes to the way I collect things. Mm-hmm. I like to have like all single issues of something or all trades of something. So I just love comics. I just love reading them. and I want them all to be the same. If I'm reading, you know, a Green Lantern story, I want them all to be trades, or I want them all to be single issues. It has to do with the way things fit in my brain, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, do you make a conscious decision when a book comes out whether or not you're going to pick it up monthly or pick it up in trade, or does it just sort of happen?
Well, if I am interested in a book, then more than likely, the way I purchase it will be monthly. There has been a rare instance where I've been interested in picking up a book where I said, you know what, I'm going to wait and pick that up in trade. That typically happens if I get in late on the game. Like, for instance, Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I bought the first two trades and I've bought all the trades. I've not bought a single issue of that, and I will not. The Daredevil Bendis run, I started with that in trade, and I've not bought a single issue of that, even into the Ed Brubaker run. Mm-hmm. It's all trades for me. Now, only recently, with rising gas costs and my adventure into DCB service,
yeah,
I have become more picky with the way I spend my money. So because of the DCBS order, you know, I can look, you know, it'll say like 1 of 5, and I'll go, oh, well, that's, you know, and I know Previews does that too, but this is just the way I see my books the first time is through their Excel spreadsheet. And I'll look at that and I'll say, oh, that's a 5-issue miniseries. I really would like to pick that up monthly, but you know what? I'm probably going to wait and get that for 35% off when it's a trade, or 40% off. I've started to do that a little more, but I love the monthly format of book. I love holding the comic book in my hand like I did when I was in the 7th grade when I started.
Right.
I just can't let go of that format.
It's hard to break a habit like that. I mean, especially if you're associated from such a young age.
It is, and it was difficult for me to not start to pick up Daredevil monthly because the Bendis run was so good, but I thought, no, I've got them all in trades. I'm going to continue in trades.
You know, Brad and Ian, I'm kind of curious. I know we are so conditioned to holding books and looking at books, but I think there's going to be some type of shift in the years to come to where things start to go more digital and things start to become more like start moving towards things like the Sony Reader or the Kindle, and it's definitely not going to happen overnight, mm-hmm. but I can just see that you know I'm so fascinated by the way how things are now distributed digitally, especially with music. I mean, think about, you know, we had to have CDs. Now so many people are comfortable just downloading their music and just having an electronic version of it, mm-hmm. as opposed, you know, to having a physical CD.
I've heard that argument a lot, and I don't mean to interrupt, but you know me, I'm going to forget my train of thought if I don't just jump in and say it. I still buy CDs. You know, I don't.
And that's why I'm saying it's a generational thing. I mean, it's the future that's gonna gravitate more to that than you know. I love my books too. I have trouble reading. You know, I've gone to DCU to the Marvel digital thing, mm-hmm. Digital Comics Unlimited, and it is very difficult to read them for me. But, you know, I have a nephew who's like 5, and he reads stuff on the computer all the time, and it's not a big deal for him.
For me, the problem with that digital thing is I still think their reader sucks, or at least the one that they have on the free version.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, some of the words on my screen anyway, on this my XP machine, some of the word balloons are off placement from the art. Sometimes I can't see the bottom of the page where I'm doing the panel-to-panel smart view. You know, that's like the best way to read it, where it's just one big picture on your screen. And I can't see the bottom of the art or the word balloon. And I'm like, I'm not going to buy this thing because if I can't get the free version to work, how do I know that their pay version is going to work?
Right. Yeah.
But for me, like the digital thing, I think they should just go all the way the pirates do it. CBR format, 2-page spread, configure your whole monitor, can zoom in or out. Like, I have no problem reading comics like that.
Well, I've
done it before. It's fine with me.
Well, and actually that does bring me into, you know, in general, how you collect things, because you just stated there that, I mean, you will, you know, download the occasional comic, but how in general do you collect your comics, Brent?
I collect them to read them, but I bag and board them because I want to reread them. Like, When I come home from school on a weekend or something, and I just bring my computer down, I don't have a TV or anything like that, I will pull out one of the long boxes and I will rip through, you know, three or four miniseries or story arcs from a title that I want to reread. Like, I came home from school this summer and I ripped through New Avengers from Civil War to Current. I ripped through Mighty Avengers again. Forgetting what else I reread. Like, I reread a whole bunch of stuff. A whole mess of things. I'm hoping to get to 52 this summer and just rip through that. But just because I have time to kill when I'm not, you know, when I'm sitting here at home and stuff. But, you know, I bag them and board them because I want them to be in good condition, like my single issues, when I reread them. But I'm the same way as Brad. Like, if I'm going to get something in trade, it's going to be, I'm going to keep it in trade. Like, I'm so glad that the 10th volume of Y just came out because I had all the trades, got 1 through 9 all last summer, and then waited a whole freaking year for them to finish up and put it in trade. Like, 6 months after it finished up. So annoying. Well, even when my girlfriend's hounding me about it, like, she wants to read it, she wants to read it. I'm like, ah, so do I, but it's not out yet.
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm usually along the lines of what you and Brad did, but there were a few exceptions where I loved the series so much that I frankly could not wait. And I started Fables in trades. I have the first maybe five trades of Fables. And, well, then I just immediately switched over to the singles when I got a chance. I mean, I had a friend who had all the issues of Fables. I was able to catch up and read, like, the six issues that I was missing up until the next trade, and then caught up to where the current storyline was, then picked it up from there. I probably will eventually fill in my gap one way or the other, but not anytime soon because I'm up to date on the series, and that's really all I need out of it. Same thing with Why the Last Man. I actually started Why the Last Man in the singles on, I think, like, issue, I don't even remember what issue it was. It was the throwaway issue of Why, where the acting troupe were putting on a play about the Last Man. And
right.
That's where I started. And then from there, I loved it so much, I started reading the story from there, and then picked up the first four trades just to catch myself up. But I was singles from there. But on DMZ, I've stayed trade. I'm probably going to stay trade on that. On a couple of other books that I picked up over the years, I've stayed trade. Like Transmetropolitan was entirely in trades. So that's usually the way I go. But just some books are just so goddamn good that I break my own rule and I pick up the singles. So it's funny how that works sometimes.
See, for me, like, I'm the same way Brad is. If I'm going to have all trades or something, I'm going to get all trades. Like, with Y specifically, and I just started Fables this past weekend, and I finished them, and I said to my girlfriend, she just finished Y, and I was like, you need to read this. This is the next thing that you need to read. And, like, I'm going to keep getting those in trade if we decide that, you know, we want to keep reading it, probably because it's easier for me to read it in one sitting, and I don't have to wait. It's easier for me to give her six issues at a time, and she read the whole story, rather than her forgetting, because I know she'd forget, because she doesn't, like, you know, pay attention to anything that I do comic books. She knows I'm podcasting, but that's about it.
Right.
But if I put it in front of her, it's in one volume, or, you know, I have her give her two trades, she'll read it, and she'll like it, and go, okay, when's the next one? But that's just me, like, me and Fables and me and Y. And, like, the Spawn, like, I'm reading Todd McFarlane's Spawn, and I'm on issue, whatever it is, volume four ended. Yes, I know I'm reading old issues of Spawn, but to me, that's cool. He's putting out 20 issues in a volume for $30. It's colored, it's on nice paper. It's something I've never read before, and I'm really latching onto it, so I need to go out and buy the fifth volume. I'm not going to catch up. Like, those things are going to catch up to the singles eventually, but I'm not going to go out and buy the singles because I'll probably have, like, nine volumes of the Spawn collection. And to me, it just looks nice. Like, if a friend comes over and says, hey, I'm looking to get into comics or whatever, or I said, you need to read Why the Last Man because the movie's coming out. Come over to my house, and I'll give you this series or something. I can give him 10 trades, you know, and just give him that stack or give him half of it.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, you know, Ian, if you want to do that, you'd give him, like, you know, two trades and then a stack of single issues that they wouldn't know what to do with.
Right.
And then you'd have to hope that they know how to rebag and board them, you know?
Well, it's actually funny that you mention it that way because actually a friend of mine by the name of Anna, I actually introduced her to Fables. And I gave her my trades. And it was sort of like giving the carrot to a bunny where as opposed to her then asking me for more, she just went out and bought Fables. And now she's now she's reading Fables as it's coming out in trades. because she enjoyed it so much. I know that that's not going to be the case with everybody, but I've gotten lucky on Fables at least. But Why the Last Man also, I turned a couple of my friends onto that. I gave them, you know, the first couple trades, and now they pick it up themselves. But I know that that's not how everybody's going to work.
You know, the one thing I struggle with concerning singles, especially when you're talking about a particular storyline, is maybe having that one missing element where you can't read the story until you find that one book. But eBay and other services like that have made it so accessible to find that one missing issue that you don't have to wait for cons anymore. And you know, for me, it's just I just want to read the story arc. I want to see what the story's about, and you know, I can relive that in my head. I just don't have that collector gene.
Well, Brad, I know that you do have the collector's gene. I mean, how difficult is it for you to give away your singles for, you know, say, a friend of yours to read?
The only way I'll do that is if I have two copies of the same single. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, with Secret Invasion, with Infinite Crisis, with Final Crisis, I'm buying, even though, okay, I won't even go to my personal feelings about Final Crisis, but even though
boring.
Hey, I didn't say it.
Yeah, but you know what? Brent said it, so now you can say it.
Yeah.
I'm so bored. God, fucking start already.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast, so I won't get into that. With, like, event comics like that, I'll buy two issues because perhaps event comics may be a little more accessible to the casual reader. Like, oh, this is an event. This is a major deal. Maybe I want to read this. So I'll get two copies and I'll keep one for myself, bagged and board. I bag and board all of my singles, mm-hmm. all of them, even Free Comic Book Day issues. I bag and board them.
Okay.
I absolutely hate lending singles out to quote unquote regular people, mm-hmm. Who don't care for and handle comics the same way I do. Our friend Bill, I feel very comfortable loaning my singles out to Bill because he's a collector like me and he cares for the medium like me, and he lays it flat on the table and he'll all but wear surgical gloves when he reads singles. And I appreciate that. But if I have two copies, you know, I consider one a reader copy, and I'll be more than happy to hand it to somebody and say, here, check this out and read it. Because I know I've got one safe inside a resealable BCW current propylene comic book bag. You know what I'm saying?
That's BCW current propylene bags, available at your local comic book retailer.
Resealable.
You know, Brad, it's so funny. You said how you have your Free Comic Book Day books bagged and boarded. Do you remember what I told you I did with all of mine?
Yeah, you left them at the Starbucks.
Yeah, I just left them out at the Starbucks. Well, I think I had read them. I had gotten my enjoyment out of it, and so I figured, you know, just share it.
Right, and actually, I did that at the most recent convention I was at Anime Next. I had a lot of Free Comic Book Day issues that I didn't want anymore. And there were even a couple of doubles of issues that I just happened to double order accidentally that I gave away at the convention. You know, at the end of one of my panels, I was basically just like held them up and I'm like, who wants it? And they all went. So, I mean, hell, that's a good way to go about it. You know, but I can
understanding, Brad, you wanting to hold on to those because 10, 20 years down the road, you're going to look at that and you're going to go, oh, yeah, this is the book that sparked my my love of that series because, you know, it was a Free Comic Book giveaway.
Sure, yeah.
But
absolutely.
Now that's one thing, but isn't it also, I guess, specifically because you mentioned the mega crossovers and stuff like that, I know that they always say all you need to do is read the crossover itself to get the full scope of it, but I'm sorry, that's never the case.
No, it's not. And no matter how much Peter Rios says it to be, it's not.
What is he saying that on? Secret Invasion? Because that's definitely not true.
No, if you aren't reading New Avengers and Mighty Avengers, you're not getting the whole picture.
Right, right. And that's yeah. The case. Because even if you put that little green circle around Spider-Woman or Captain Marvel, you know, you're going to know exactly what's happening with them if you're reading the Captain Marvel mini, if you're reading the New Avengers series, if you're reading the Mighty Avengers series, you're going to get the full backstory. So what I'm asking you here, Brad, is by giving, say, your double to a friend for them to read, wouldn't they be a little bit lost in these big crossovers?
There's a design in that. See, I got to figure out some way to suck them in. So I give them the big picture that's missing a few of the details. Mm-hmm. And when they're done reading it, I'll say, so what'd you think about that? Hey, I bet you might have been confused about this one part. And they go, yeah, you know what? I was kind of wondering how they got from A to B there. So I'm not, and I said, let me tell you about it. And then I'll tell them and I'll, you know, introduce them to the world of comics that way.
Okay. All right. And has that worked for you?
Actually, it has at my new job I've had since March. I've, in addition to getting 4 or 5 different people in the office to read Why the Last Man and Walking Dead via my trades. By the way, thank you, Frank, for the last Why trade. I appreciate that.
Oh. Pretty good, huh?
It's awesome. I've got some people interested in regular Marvel comics because of the Secret Invasion.
Great, excellent.
Series like Why and Fables and Powers, those are books that, you know, if you give them volume one of the trade, that's something that they can follow to because it's its own universe. You don't have to know much of the history because you're starting at the very beginning, as opposed to giving them something like, could you imagine giving someone Crisis on Infinite Earths? They'd be scratching their head. They wouldn't know where to begin. You know, it'd be so out there.
What the hell is an Earth S?
If you give them something. Yeah. Or is it Earth 5? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
But who was it? Who was some magazine named Why the best comic book series since the 90s? I think it was either Wizard.
Maybe it was Wizard.
Yeah,
I know that Entertainment Weekly also has named Why like one of their best stories of the last decade. Not even just comics, but yeah. I know it was in the running for that.
Easily accessible.
Yeah,
I actually had a guy call me an a-hole after I let him read the first Why the Last Man trade. I'm like, why are you calling me an a-hole if you liked it? He goes, because now I got to read the rest. I don't have time for this.
That's actually got him, Fred. Okay, that's happened to me both with comics and with TV, because there'll be certain series that I'll like lend, say, like the first disc to or the first season to a friend of mine, and then I just usually get like one email response back, like damn you to hell, because almost every time it gets them hooked on that specific thing. So I guess I'm doing something right. But Brent, how difficult is it for you to lend out your singles versus your trades?
For me, like, it's kind of the only person I lend out my singles to is my brother, and I just give them to him in the DCBS pack, and it's just like, you know, here you go, bring him back to me when he's done, and then he knows how to take care of him, even though he doesn't bag and board of them. But and then I've also given my girlfriend, like, I made her read the Nightwing Annual #2, but she read that in my room, like, as I was doing homework. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't difficult. Like, I don't think I've ever said, here, take this home with you and bring it back to me safe and sound. I don't know if I would. I just feel, like, more comfortable giving them a trade because, you know, the whole movies, it says, you know, based on a graphic novel, and they're using those term graphic novel more and more to try and sell it as something that's not for kids, because the novel means sophisticated and adult, and then graphic kind of means pictures, I guess.
Yeah.
So to me, like, handing them a trade to be like, here's this graphic novel or whatever, just check it out, this is volume one, it just seems like a better way to do it. You know, you don't give somebody half of the movie to watch.
Sure. Yeah. Well, no, actually,
here's half the DVD.
Yeah, that, you know what? Fuck it. That's how I'm doing it from now on. Okay,
you gotta wait a month to watch the other half.
Yeah, no. Okay, I'm gonna buy the extended edition of Lord of the Rings. Okay, I'm gonna buy all 3 extended editions, and I'm just gonna give them that first disc where it ends on like the cliffhanger, and then I'll be like, oh, you want the second disc? Too bad. Buy it yourself. Because even when I was sitting here watching it myself, I got pissed off at that. I'm like, damn it, you're making me get out of my chair, you know, and pick up that second disc. Bastards, I hate you. It's just the way it works. How difficult and actually how important is it for you, Brent, to have every single issue or every single volume of a book that you're reading. I mean, say, like, for example, if you can't find issue 46 of Teen Titans at your store, and you can't find it, you know, say, like, by some miracle, it's not on eBay, you can't find it at any convention, are you just going to move on to issue 47 just like that and just, you know, try and pick it up? Or are you going to wait to read it until you find that issue 46?
Like, I did this with Green Arrow. Like, I didn't get the I started on Green Arrow when Batman and Red Hood came into it on the old series. And, I have the first volume in trade, the Kevin Smith run. But I did, read the other stuff, like, on and off. But I found some of those one-year later ones, like, at a sale or at a con or something. And I bought those for, like, a dollar. But they didn't have the whole run of the first two arcs. Mm-hmm. So I bought them, went home, and I was like, well, shit, I bought these, and I have half the arc. I'll read it. And then, like, I was missing, like, three issues, I think. And then I got those earlier last month or something like that. And then went back and read those, and it fit in the holes or something like that. But it wasn't, like... There was, like, one I was missing the very first one-year later issue of that Green Arrow. So I kind of knew what was going on with the rest of that arc. And then I was missing, like, the last two issues before I started. So I wasn't really missing much, but I did go and read them. And, like, the Night Quest stuff that I've been collecting at MegaCon for the past 2 years, like, I haven't read the stuff that I bought this year, but I did read the stuff that I bought last year. And I'm not going to wait until the whole thing's complete because that's just stupid. But I will go and read them like in August or something, maybe next weekend. I don't know.
So is it
once I have time, I'll sit down and read them.
Is it easier for you to do that with older books than it is for current books?
I guess it is for that Night Quest stuff because like I used to just have 10 Night Quest books that were cherry picked from the whole story, and I kind of had to fit pieces together myself. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's okay. But like the Green Arrow stuff, like. You could have missed that first 1 year later issue because all that tells you is he's the mayor now.
Right.
And some other shit. But, you know, there's nothing that important in that first issue. I am missing a couple issues of Green Lantern Corps. I went back and got all those because at first I got the Recharged Mini. That was good. Then I picked up the regular series and I thought, you know, I don't know. So I stopped at issue 3 there and then picked it back up again with Sinestro Corps and went back and got the rest of them. I'm missing like a couple issues there, but I still read every issue I picked up. So I read them. If I'm going to buy it, I'm going to read it.
Okay. At least
once.
Well, yeah, that would be important. Reading it at least once, because that's something that I've never been able to do. I've never been able to just buy something and put it off to the side. You know, I need to read what I'm picking up to validate the fact that I just spent money on it. You know, there's no such thing as just collecting for me. I need to at least read it once. To hell with, you know, getting your fingerprints on it or getting, like, the oil of your fingers on the pages. If you're so frickin' worried about that, wear gloves and read it. Okay? Because there's no such thing as just picking up a comic book for me. But we'll go to Brad here because he's the other collector. How much of a pain in the ass is it for you to deal with, holes in a collection?
It drives me to the brink of insanity because I am such an anal person when it comes to that. There have been times when I've been collecting a series and I'll miss an issue and I won't be able to find it for a few months. And because of that, I'll let my issues stack up and I won't read them until I go find that missing issue. And then, because I love continuity, I love the flow of the story. It would drive me crazy to read issue 5 and then jump to 7 and not know what happened in 6. I wouldn't get a good night's sleep. And that sounds silly, but it's not far from the truth, man. Because the way my brain works, it likes order. It likes things to flow properly. Mm-hmm. And not having issue 6, you know, drives me nuts sometimes.
Okay, how weird is this? I'm sitting in my room right now, which is a total pigsty. Okay, I'll admit that. I live in the smallest-ass room you've ever seen. If you want proof of that, I'll send you the link to the YouTube video of it, you know, after we're done recording here, and you'll see that I live in, like, a Harry Potter hole. But because of that, I'm running out of space for my comics. I, just as of maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I actually started filing them away in a sense of order, where I actually know that, like, in alphabetical order, I go, you know, Independence, including Vertigo and Wildstorm, DC, and then Marvel, all in alphabetical order, and that's my box. and that's the way I've been doing it for the past 6 or 7 months. It's still hard for me to find stuff before that because for some reason it never came to me, hey, you know, you might want to go back and read those. So when I was actually looking for, because we're going to be doing a thing with American Version later on, when I was looking for my American Version issues, I could, yes, I know the name American Version is very funny, isn't it? But, but
it's Frank giggling.
Yes, he's giggling at the word.
It's very funny for you, Ian.
At the word American Version.
Oh.
But oh, snap. But anyway, yeah, so when I finally found those, I found everything but my issue one, which I know where it is. It's just, it would take a pain in the ass for me to actually go up there and find it. So I you know, I got another copy of it online. I own the copy. That's why I can, you know, say, okay, fine, I got it, and that's fine. But it's difficult for me to find complete runs of what I have because I'm not entirely organized. And yet, I still need to have every issue of something. So explain that, because I don't even understand it. It's like compulsive in some way. Somebody explain me to me.
Well, maybe. In your brain, you know that you have all those. And your brain tells you, I've got issues 1 through 20 of this. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they are, but I know I have them.
Okay.
Eventually, I will find them. I'll put them all together. And it's going to bug the crap out of me if I don't have issue 21 right there next to 20.
Right. And that's happened a couple times. I've read an issue without even realizing that I didn't read issue, you know, say like 17. If I read issue 18... I read issue 18, then I find issue 17, and I'm really pissed at myself for not reading 17 first, you know, because that's the way it was supposed to be. And yet, I'm still able to start a series midway and then go back, because at least then I know that I'm consciously doing that. So there's a difference between consciously doing something and accidentally doing something, at least in my mind. Frank, how difficult is it for you to miss an issue?
I will not finish a storyline unless I have all the comic books. For instance, I've been trying to finish Son of Vulcan. I need issue 5 so I can read that. I don't have it, but I know a store that does have it, and all I have to do is go down and get it. But I just haven't gotten around to getting it yet. So it'll just sit there until, you know, I feel the desire to go out and actually purchase that missing copy. I won't read out of order, not due to any type of organizational reason, mostly because I just don't want to read the story out of order.
Okay.
Now with older comic books, you know, I've picked up like a volume, you know, an older volume of an Essentials, like a volume 3, and just read through that without going to volume 1 or 2. But overall, it doesn't bother me. But I do try to read my comic books in order, just because I want to experience the story in that order.
Right, because that's the way it was intended.
Yeah. So, going back to Son of Vulcan, you know, I'm missing that one issue, and if I never get it, I guess that's fine. You know, apparently it's not that important to me, or else I would have gotten it the day I found out what store had it. And it's just, you know, it's just like $2, and I know it's there. I just haven't gotten around to doing it.
You could probably end up finding it at a convention in one way or another, because that's, I know that I picked up Son of Vulcan actually in back issue bins myself, and it wasn't the most difficult thing in the world. I mean, it came out a year or two ago, but you're going to find at least one convention that's going to have it in a dollar bin.
And, you know, I've been trying to finish up that run of, I think it's the 12 issues of Sentry.
Right.
And I think I have 8 of them. And I know Brad has those trades of it. And I could, you know, I could ask to borrow them if I really wanted to. But, you know, I'll eventually collect them all, and then I'll read it then. You know, I have a box full of unfinished runs that one day I will eventually finish. Oh, you know, I was just remembering. Brad, were you there? Yeah, I think I told you about this. When I started reading A Sword of the Atom,
yes,
and I had issues 1, 2, and what I thought was 3 turned out it was an annual or something else, and 4, and so I had to just completely skip 3 because I had already invested my time into it. So I totally skipped 3. In fact, to this day, I still have not read 3, but I've read 4. So I guess I can read through a series without missing issues. I mean, if something had happened in 4 that I just had to know about, I would probably go out and totally you know, try to find that missing issue. But, you know, I guess that says volumes that I was able to go ahead and just chow on to issue four without having three.
And if I care enough about a series, I'm going to track down every single as opposed to going and picking up the trades, because I started with Manhunter, the current Manhunter series, with One Year Later. That was when I first jumped on the title. And at that point, they had come out with, I think, Volume 1 and 2 in trade. I hadn't gotten to Volume 3 yet, so I made a conscious decision that at the next couple of conventions that I go to, I was going to track down every single back issue of Manhunter. And it took me about a year and a half, but I got there. And now I can sit down and I can read all the issues of Manhunter that I did not read before, knowing that I'm going to catch up entirely to where I was. And along with that, not only did I pick up that, but I also picked up the 10 issues of Chase, the series that came out back in the, I think it was actually the early 2000s, I believe, with J.H. Williams on art, and Chase is one of the side characters in Manhunter. But now that I know her thorough backstory, I read that first, and now I can start reading, you know, the early issues of Manhunter, safely knowing that I know all about Chase ahead of time. So now I'm getting a full story. Even though I'm reading Manhunter currently, even though I started with One Year Later and I'm reading that regularly, I can at least know what's going to happen in those early issues, you know, not wondering where Chase came from and what character she was.
Yeah, I wonder if I would be the way I am if there wasn't something like message boards or Wikipedia or something like that, because you can very easily jump on one of those and find an answer to a missing story arc, or if something didn't make sense in the storyline, you can definitely, you know, jump on there and quickly see, oh, well, okay, now that makes sense, now I get it. I wonder if I would be this way if those things did not exist.
I don't think you would be.
You don't think so?
Well, for one thing, we wouldn't be talking right now. That much I could say if that didn't exist. Because, I wouldn't know who the hell you were. But if those didn't exist, we wouldn't have the outlet we do to get that information. And actually, I think the convention scene would be a hell of a lot more frenzied than it is now, because all these fanboys who wanted to catch up on issues would be doing so a lot more. So I certainly think that your outlook would be a little bit different if that was the case.
Yeah. Just food for thought.
So be happy you are the way you are, sir.
Yeah. But I live in the time that I live in.
Yes, exactly. It's not the 80s and the internets exist.
I got a 14.4 modem.
Yay! I'm running Apple OS 3.
Nice!
Yes.
Windows 3.1.
Is that an amber? Is that a monochrome amber monitor?
It sure is, and it cost me $4,000.
You guys are showing your age here.
Oh, what's that, Sonny?
Casino.
What's that? I can't hear you.
I'm 3 years older than you are, and I know what they're talking about.
Hey guys, I just got this great new text adventure game.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. I got to go back and I got to play some of those old LucasArts adventure games. All right. Cause,
did you ever play Zork?
I've heard of Zork. I've never played it.
It's freaking awesome.
I got to get to it. I definitely got to get to it. But
you
anyway.
You can find it on the internet.
Yeah. There's free downloads of most of the LucasArts stuff and like all the old text adventures, but that's for another show, I guess. Rolling back to comic books, and actually, I'm going to ask Brad this first. Are you anal about second editions and variant covers and stuff like that? Because, I mean, I know that the collector's mentality is to have everything of everything. But where are you in that case? Like, are you going to try and get a first edition of a comic when a second edition is available? Or, even worse, are you going to pick up every version of a comic that comes out? Or are you just going to settle for the one that you have?
If you had asked me that question about 10 years ago, I would have responded differently than I do now. Suffice to say, the way I am now, I don't buy variant covers if the regular one's available. Well, let me restate that. I don't buy variant covers if they cost more than the normal cover. If it's a 50-50 split, one of them's labeled variant, and it's the same price, but it's the only one available, I'll pick it up. I don't care. I don't have to have the quote unquote regular cover.
Right.
Now with Infinite Crisis, I bought two copies of each, one of Jim Lee's covers, one of George Perez's covers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on the recent Thor run, there were a couple of variants and just happened to be the only copy available that day. I went to the bookstore to pick it up. So I just, you know, 10 years ago, I would have, like I said, answered that differently. I would have searched high and low for the quote unquote regular cover. But now I just want to read my book. I don't care what cover it is.
What changed your answer from 10 years ago?
I just turned 39. I think it's my age. I look at the world differently now. I've got two children. You know, you hear people say that a lot. Kids change your life. And one of the ways it changed mine was, as much as I love to make me realize that as much as I love comics, there are things that are more important than having a first edition or a first print of something. And if I can get a second edition or second print or a variant cover, I'm cool with that.
Right. And I actually, one of the few variant editions that I've picked up in recent memory is actually the Midtown Comics variant of Secret Invasion number one. Mostly because I just loved the cover, and I sort of got suckered into it a little bit because I was asked to pick up a copy for Travis Fowler, a regular guest of Amazing Spattercast. And when I went to pick it up, I saw how awesome the cover was. I saw it was only $8. And I said, all right, fine, you know what, whatever. And, you know, I told Raph to put two aside for me. I bought one for Travis and one for me, and that's the way it went. But usually, I do not end up picking variant covers up. If it's a 50-50 split, occasionally I'll do so. But most of the time, with 50-50 splits, I'm going to totally avoid the one I hate. And Final Crisis, I'm looking at you. Because, whoa. What a difference in the covers.
You hate the strip ones?
I hate the strip ones.
Yeah, I hate those too.
I like those. The like the Green Arrow one and the not the Green Arrow, the Green Lantern one?
No. The Green Lantern one I adore. Just like the Flash one I adore. The other ones, the story covers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because those ones, it's like you've got this small strip in the middle of the cover with image on it. And that's it. And I just saw no reason to pick those up. I originally was going to, because I, for some reason, didn't pick up both covers for Infinite Crisis. So I figured, what the hell, I'd do it for Final Crisis. Once I saw them, I said, no, thank you. But there will be an occasional 50-50 split that just looks so pretty that I will go and pick it up.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, if there is a set of covers, like a left side and a right side, like, for instance, the first Avengers Initiative cover had, you know, half of Tony Stark on the front and everything behind his right shoulder, and then the second cover had the other half of Tony Stark and everything behind his left shoulder. You know, I'll pick those two up because they'll make one picture.
Right.
The same with the first issue of Justice League of America. It did that same thing. You know, I'll do that just so I can put them side by side and look at the whole picture. But that's a rare thing with me.
And then, of course, they eventually put out the third version with the entire picture in a fold-out, and then you curse yourself for picking up the first two.
Yeah, I think George Lucas is behind that somehow.
Isn't he behind everything?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the same way with those half things like the JLA and the Adventures Initiative. If it's there, I'll pick it up. But like the Jim Lee covers for Batman 619, the last issue he did, like, I just, when that originally came out, I just bought the Heroes cover. And then at MegaCon this year, I found the Villains one for 50 cents, and I was like, okay, done. You know, now I have two. I have the other spread, but, like, and then a missing hat was, like, the Justice League cover to number 7 or something like that, where they had the different artists in the background. Mm-hmm. I think I'm missing half of that. And there's one other one. I think the first Avengers Initiative I only bought one copy of and didn't get the other half. Mm-hmm. But, like, most times if I'm in the shop, I'll pick up two of those because of the one image. But other than that, I don't pick up a variant cover or anything like that. I just think that whole market is just ridiculous, and I'm boycotting it.
But it's out there. I mean, no matter what the hell we do, the speculators are still going to be out there. I mean, I thought we had them beat at the end of the 90s, and then all of a sudden they came back.
it's not the speculators. It's the people who are willing to buy this stuff, and it's the same thing, just a different cover. I'm not going to pay $18 for a sketch variant cover of a McNiven variant cover that's $6 or something like that at my comic shop. Like the secret invasion stuff, McNiven has a variant cover, and then there's a sketch variant, and it's like, why do I want the sketch variant? It looks just better colored because Moore's coloring it,
yeah,
and it's inked. Even though the covers to me aren't that great that McNiven's doing, I don't know. I'm just not interested in variants. I'd rather see, you know, an Alex Ross cover on Batman and Superman than something else. Like, I would like the Tony Daniel cover because he does some great covers, but I'm not going to go out of my way and pay $6 for it over the one that cost me $2.50.
Oh, and don't forget, whatever it is, don't forget on the Heroes sketch Colander variant hollow foil that was signed by McNiven's mother. Yeah, I just, for God's sakes, seven covers for something is just not necessary. At least that's how I'm.
I guess one reason why they're out there is that there is a market for it. People do want it, and so, you know, that's the only reason the variant covers exist.
But why, Frank? Why do they want it?
Because you know, I think deep down inside, some people may think some of that. No matter how much you want to. How much you don't want to admit that there is a speculator inside every human being, that it does exist. Deep down, maybe you hide it behind everything, but you're wondering, man, I wonder if that might be worth some money someday.
Mm-hmm. It's somewhere deep inside you, lurking there. You don't know it's there.
Yeah, the art may be beautiful, but it doesn't affect the story inside, you know, and that's what I look at. You know, I just look at the cover that makes me the most happy, and then I buy that one.
Well, bite your tongue, Frank, because before you know it, they'll start doing story variants. If you pick up this cover, Batman dies, but if you pick up this cover, Batman lives.
Choose your own adventure in comic books.
Yes.
That would be so funny.
But
there's usually a 1-900 number associated with that kind of gimmick.
Yeah, and Jason Todd died. But it's okay, he's back now. He's better.
I want my better, 75 better. Cents back.
And that 75 cents is now like $2.25 with inflation.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you're saying is that if by some chance you convince people to stop buying the 8 or 12 covers, then we're just going to get one cover and then it's all going to be well?
Well, I don't know if it'll be well. I mean, maybe the people who do have to have the variant covers, I'm supposing at this point it's the completionist. You know, I got to have it all because that's part of it. I got to have it all.
I think the problem is that they charge so much for them that they need just to be the same price as the regular comic. I don't understand where they get off charging $50 for a sketch variant of, you know, something else that's still a variant. Like, you know, right. I don't know where they get off. I know it's just retail profit and it's the 1 in 10 thing. So technically it costs them 10 copies of this comic. So they need to make their money back. But, you know, if they just did them all at conventions or something for the same price, then we wouldn't have this collector cover versus regular cover mentality.
And, I mean, it's one thing to get, like, a retail incentive that's, like, a gift to the retailer. You know, like, congratulations, you spent, you know, like, 100 – you bought 100 copies of this. We'll give you this special thing. And, you know, if you want to hold on to it, you can. If you sell it, that's fine. Like, I mean, I was lucky enough to get the retail incentive Sin City Volume 1 – at the CGS event last year, but I would have never bought it. You know, I was happy with my regular version of Volume 1. I mean, had I never won it, I would have never even knew the thing existed. That's just not the way that I go about things. I mean, now that I have it, sure, it's a great part of my collection. I'm happy to have it, whatever. But I just would have never thought of buying it in the first place. You know, but there are people out there that do, so I guess, you know, if people are going to buy things, then more power to them. But do you know what the most expensive comic in your collection is? And, well, what is the most expensive comic in your collection? And we'll go with Frank here first.
I don't know. And I don't really care.
Good.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just read them, and unless I think there's some intrinsic, you know, it's like that episode of The Simpsons where they go, the monetary value isn't that much, but the sentimental value is through the roof. You know, it's more along those lines. I have comic books that when I got as a kid, you know, I can remember as a kid, those are important to me. I want to hold on to those. Those bring back memories. But no, I don't think I have anything of any substantial value.
Okay. Yeah. I know what mine is, but this was a part of my life that I wish I could just take back. How long ago was it? I guess I must have been 18 at the time, because it's been around that long now. I have Ultimate Spider-Man number 1, and I have collected, I have a full run of Ultimate Spider-Man. I've never missed an issue. And for one of my birthdays, I don't remember which one it was, it might have been 18 or 19, but I decided that I was going to CGC some comics. And I don't know what the hell came over me. At the time, I thought it was cool. Now I look back at it, and I'm like, why the hell did I bother doing that? I guess it's just a good way to keep things in good condition, because I'm never going to really sell it. But the most expensive comic in my collection is that Ultimate Spider-Man number 1, 9.6 CGC graded. You know, and 9.6 CGC graded doesn't mean anything to me, because even outside of that, it's an expensive comic book. But it decreases in value every year, because Ultimate Spider-Man is not as popular as it used to be. Do I care? No. But it's there. I mean, I have a random issue of Daredevil from the 60s that I got from, like, a friend of my father's. I have, you know, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, Alan Moore's thing. I've got both issues of that. I've got, you know, the Action Comics miniseries that John Byrne did. You know, all these comics that are, you know, well-known and renowned and all that. But the price of them, I've never really bothered to look up past my small foray into CGC that I'm never going back to. So that's how I'm looking at it. Brad, what about you for value of comics?
I take it when you say most expensive, you mean like what it's worth now, not necessarily what I paid for it.
Either way, actually. I mean, if you want to say something that was expensive then, but it's since decreased in value, you can go with that. But whatever your preference.
I really, honestly, I think the most I've ever actually spent on a comic was like $20. You know, to get a back issue of something, but probably the one that I have that's worth the most, I honestly don't know. I'm going to guess, though, it's one of my old Amazing Spider-Man issues where Green Goblin was killed. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, that's probably...
Which Green Goblin, Harry or Norman?
Norman,
okay.
Yeah, I guess it's issue 122, 123, I can't remember offhand. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, it'd probably be that. I may have had another issue that was worth more than that, but a couple of years ago I sold off half my collection, and there may have been one or two issues in that might have been worth more than that Amazing Spider-Man, but I don't think there was, really, on reflection.
Okay. And was that selling off just because you needed the money at the time, or was that just a space thing? What was that?
No, I needed money. I was in a financial pickle. And I knew that I should stop spending my money on comics.
Right.
So how could I avoid not getting new comics? Oh, I know. I'll sell half my collection and I'll use the store credit to get free comics for a year.
Right.
So that's what I did.
Man, gotta do what you gotta do, man.
To this day, I regret selling it.
But still, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
I hear you. Yeah. I know, that's why I did it.
Yeah, I mean, I know that if I was ever in a financial bind, I mean, I would have to turn to that. I haven't gotten there yet, but who knows? You know, it's a long life. So you never know what you're going to end up doing. Mr. Cassina, what about you?
I don't know what signed comics are worth anything these days. Like, I have the whole all the All-Stars just signed by Jim Lee, the Hush stuff signed by Jim Lee, the Superman stuff signed by Jim Lee. But just on issues alone, it's probably something Bob gave me, some Neil Doom Apparel Batman issue he gave me for Christmas or something. Just some random thing. It's just because it's old. I mean, I don't know how much it's worth or anything like that. But I've never paid over $350 for a single issue. And I never will. unless it's like one of them $5 80 pagers or whatever. But
yeah,
you know, back issue or whatever.
Unless it's one of those fancy graphic novels.
Well, that too, but oh, yeah, I don't think signatures increase the value, but makes me feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're like, oh, hey, Ethan Van Sciver. I know that guy.
Yeah, sign my comic. Damn it, I wish I had a hardcover every time I see him, you know?
There, there, sir, there, there. But,
oh, well.
Yeah. CGC, since I mentioned it, Scam.
Do you feel that your comic book is trapped?
I feel that my comic book screams to me, and I occasionally I'll wake up in a cold sweat, and I swear that there's something going, help me, help me. And that might very well be it for all I know. I don't know. But, yeah, no, right now I feel it's trapped. I mean, it's as simple as opening up the case. But, you know, for now, they're sitting right across from me. If I ever wanted to open it up and do it, I would. And, you know, one of these days I'm going to want to read Ultimate Spider-Man number one again, and I'm going to do it. Because I don't care anymore. You know, it was a cool gift that my parents gave me once upon a time to pay for it. But those times have since passed where I gave two shites about CGC.
Yeah. For me, maybe if it's like a really, really old, rare comic book, to where you probably wouldn't read it anyway because it's so fragile. Yeah, I guess I could see that. But yeah, no, it doesn't that, you know, I see no need in it.
Right. And Brad, I'm sure that you're not much of a CGC guy.
No, I think it's the greatest scam ever to hit comic books. I mean, honestly, what does it do for you? Let's start by saying this. Value of a comic is subjective. It really is when you think about it. You know, some book tells me that Fantastic Four number one is worth X amount of dollars. Well, it's not worth that much to me. You know, I'm not going to pay that much for it. And why would a comic that's trapped in plastic be worth more just because some guy that says, hey, I'm an expert in grading comics, you know, why should I believe and accept that, oh yeah, that comic is worth $986 instead of $80 just because it's some guy it somewhere invented a company that said, you know what, I'm an authority, and I'm going to start this company, and I'm going to act like I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to nobody's done it yet, so I'm going to try to get in on the ground floor on this. And you know, CGC, by the way, has another competitor. I can't remember the name of them, but there's another company out there that's doing just what CGC is now. You know, it's a little late for that, fellas. You're not going to have any kind of success, but...
Would you feel better if they put that green gas that they use at the National Archives on the Declaration of Independence and stuff? If they put that in between your comic?
I would like it better if, just like they do with underwear, it had, like, inspected by number 7.
I feel bad for the comic books. They're trapped. You can't get out, you know, and they're assigned a number. Who wants to be a number?
I want to be a 9.6 when I grow up.
whenever I get my regular comic book shipment, and I'll open it up, and you know, sometimes you'll see that little bit of glue line kind of at down the middle of it, and I wonder, wow, if I sent this to those guys, would they that would automatically be points off because it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who cares?
I think CGC is like the being an astronaut to comic books, you know, when at the printer. Like, when I grow up, I want to be a CGC comic. Like, it's important to them when you're a little kid, but really, in all actuality, like, it matters jack shit now. Like, what have astronauts done for us lately, you know? So while they're at the printers getting their staples in, what do you want to be? I want to be a ragged up, torn up copy in some kid's back pocket. You know, that's like the mechanic of the comic books. Oh, you know, I want to be an accountant, which is like, you know, bagged and board and some, you know, cardboard box. I want to be an engineer, which is like, you know, in a drawer box, bagged and board with mylars. And, you know, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be CGC graded.
I want to be sat on the train and then forgotten about.
I want to be left on the table at a Starbucks.
Zing.
That's the Free Love Hippie comic book right there.
Oh, that was, yeah, that's Free Love. I'm just spreading the love, man.
Actually, that's just the super mocha low-fat latte double foam of comic books.
I guess you could say that's like that's like me sending out propaganda or something like that, you know?
Hello, would you like to be a member of the Communist Party? Oops, I mean, would you like to read DC Comics? Got to get your speech right.
Yeah. While I'm sitting in there working on my manifesto. Oh, hello, friend. You know, Superman represents the proletariat.
Actually, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I just remember what my most expensive comic book is. It's Watchmen Babies, V is for Vacation.
That one is so good.
I know, yeah.
You should CGC that as soon as possible.
The bloody comics organizations, they steal your work and then they turn them into movies and... Calm down, Alan. Oh, you're probably right. Little Lulu, I love you, Lou, all the same.
A genius moment. Brad, have you seen that episode of The Simpsons?
I can't say that I have, sorry.
Oh, my God. With Alan Moore in it? Oh, my gosh. Genius.
Beautiful.
When he starts singing Little Lulu, it's just the best.
Well, and I liked when Dan Klaus was talking about how, yeah, but I'd really love to draw Batman.
Look at my utility belts.
Oh, man. All right. So
that's such a good episode.
Moving on from there. Yes, it is. It's an incredibly awesome episode. One of the best ones of the last couple seasons, but...
Yeah.
How long does it usually take you to file away your comics? I mean, how long do you let them accumulate? And about how many times do you read them before you pop them away? We will begin with Mr. Kasina.
I'd say I read them at least twice before I put them away, meaning I put them to the side to be filed later on. Usually it takes me, I'll wait until a period of 2 months before I bag and board, because the way I do it now is... just two comics back to back, so covers on one side of the, and then second issue covers facing the back. Just put them in a bag. It's got the same stability of a board. Tape it up with one piece of tape that I fold on the end so I can reattach it really easily. You know, because I do this for reading's sake and because of space and money, so I don't have to buy one bag. Like, those bags can fit like 3 or 4 comics in there. You know, for God's sake, use them up a little.
I used to do that when I was younger, but I've since gotten more anal, I guess.
Gross.
You're entering your anal fixation, according to Dr. Freud.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Brent. And no, I'm not seeing my hentai dealer. Continue.
Well, I was done. I told you all about my bagging and boarding.
Okay.
Oh, and boards? I don't use boards unless I cut up the... I get the stuff that, you know, I get in the box, like the two boards that are... sandwiching my comics that aren't bagged and the piece of cardboard that's at the bottom of the box. I cut that in half and use it as a board. Well, I'm really cheap on boards that way.
Well, that's just what you used to do. I mean, now that you get it online, I mean, you usually get them bagged and boarded in the first place, right?
Well, no, DCBS, I don't have bags and boards.
Okay.
Heroes Corner, I don't have a choice, but if I did have a choice, I probably wouldn't get them.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Cool. Mr. Frank.
Yes. Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I don't bag and board, so how many times I read a book depends on just how, you know, good it is. You know, if it's a stinker, it just kind of goes in the long box pretty quickly. But if it's something I enjoyed or something that I think needs, like, you know, I need to read it again because I think I may have missed something, you know, as many times as it takes. I'm pretty diligent, though, about putting it in my long box just because, you know, I just don't want to mess around the house. I do have two boxes. I mean, I have one box with my stuff to read that's in alphabetical order just so I can find it. It's not that big of a box. It's just it's half the size of a short box. And as I read it, I just, you know, after it's done, put it in the long box. If I think it needs more time, I'll usually stick around my nightstand, you know, because that's usually where I do it when I do a lot of my reading is right before I go to bed.
Yeah, and that's reading in quotation marks, by the way.
Yes. Like right now, I'm reading From Hell, the trade. And that one, I think I'm gonna have to read it again after I'm finished because, There's something going on there. Again, I can't quite put my finger on it yet, but I think it requires a second reading.
Right.
So that one I probably won't shelve right away.
See, my filing system is nice and simple, really. If I get a box that's big enough to put stuff in, I put stuff
under the bed.
In it. Not even under the bed, man, because if it was under the bed, I'd be living like 7 feet above my floor right now, and that would be bad.
You'd be peeing in the pee.
I usually make a balancing act occur for at least a month or two, where comics accumulate both on my chair, my desk chair, and around my desk chair. And then when they're about to topple, then I guess it's time to file them away. And now at least I put them in alphabetical order and stuff. I need to start getting short boxes, because long boxes would never fit in my house. But I'm going to probably get some short drawer boxes sometime soon and start actually switching over to that. But they're all bagged and boarded. In fact, I probably even get the same resealable bags that that Brad does, because that's what I usually use for mine, and I get them in bulk from some website. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. But I get like 1,000 of those. In fact, I'm almost out. I got to order more. And usually, actually, while I'm on the train coming home from Midtown, I either put them in the bags and boards and that. I either bring them with me and I bag and board them there. Or when I get home, I immediately bag and board them and then read them whenever I need to, because I usually bring my comics with me, you know, like on the train to read, and I don't want them getting all messed up in my bag, so that's just the way it goes. So that's usually what I end up doing in that aspect. How long do they sit around after that? It depends on how long it takes me to read them and how long it takes me to have them fall on my head while I'm sleeping. So that's
you said you put them in a bag, but you don't want them to get messed up in your bag?
In my travel bag, I mean, you know, like the bag I take to work. I don't want I don't want them getting messed up in my travel bags. I put them in bags and boards. Better now.
I know. I was just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I know.
Just giving you a hard time.
And
hey, Ian. After you mentioned your room, I finally saw that YouTube video of your room. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Yeah.
Harry Potter has lives in a mansion compared to you.
Oh, you ain't kidding, man. You ain't kidding. And I've lived in this exact same room since my birth.
Are you serious?
Yep. All 24 years of my life, right here in this frickin' hellhole.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to say the least, I'll be probably moving out in the next couple of months.
Careful, they might hear you.
What do you mean? No, please, the only one who's going to be sad is my mother, because, you know, she's a Jewish mother. She gets sad, you know, whenever I'm not around to say, what are you doing? Be careful. Come on. What are you doing?
Was that meant to be a room? Sorry to get off track, but was that meant to be a room, or was that just bestowed to you as a room?
Okay, so here's the story, all right? And
I'm sorry to derail, guys. I just kind of got to know.
Perfectly fine. If worse comes to worse, it'll end up in the back of the show. We usually have one, you know, side conversation anyway. But, okay, so originally, before I was born, and, you know, prepare to laugh if you want to, this was the dog's room. Okay? And because of that, there's a hole in the door. I don't even have a real wall, so I assume this was probably a pantry before they moved in. And they said, hey, this is big enough to stick a kid in. But anyway, before then, the dog lived here, so there's a hole in the door so that they could peek in and, you know, make sure that it wasn't doing anything bad. That, of course, later became the Ian's 2 years old, let's make sure he's not doing something wrong hole. And now it's covered up by a calendar just to make sure that don't have a view to the outside world.
You can watch your hentai by yourself.
Yeah, thanks a lot, dumbass. so that's what the deal is. I assume it was meant to be a pantry once upon a time, but for the last 24 years, it's been a room. And it's big enough for me to sleep in. It's big enough for me to have a computer. I'm sure I could have a better computer desk, but this computer desk has been here for the last, like, 6 years, and I don't think it's moving anytime soon. Since that was taken, I've gotten more hero clicks and figures for the top of it, so it's starting to look even more and more cluttered. And, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the story. It wasn't meant to be a room, I'm sure. But in New York, this is what we like to call a room and a half. One and a half bedrooms. That's the story.
Ian, I'm looking at that video right now. Your parents absolutely hate your guts, don't they?
Actually, no, my father likes me, and I know that my mother, you know, worries about me at least. So, yeah, they're just, okay, I have two words for you. Rent control. That's the entire reason they never moved out.
I bet it smells like a gymnasium in there.
It doesn't really smell that much in here, surprisingly enough. Because I haven't.
Now, have you ever just in your bed kind of reached over to the stove and like made Jiffy to pop without...
Never done that. However, I have.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's what she said. No, I have on occasion tried to do a balancing act to open up the fridge. But what are you going to do? Hey, now it's a nice recording space.
Got glass in his leg when he was naked.
Yeah. No, I spend, like, the time I sleep in here is usually the time I spend in this room, other than when I'm recording. So I barely spend any time in here whatsoever anymore. It's just too fucking cramped. When I got a laptop, that opened up my life. I could stay in the living room, which is big.
You opened it up because you can open and close the lid.
Yes, that's another thing that opened up my world. But and there was a choice when I was younger, because I remember this. I remember actually going to check out apartments. They were thinking of moving. However, they decided to move my dad's store instead, and that was the last time I ever even heard the word move. And I was like maybe 3-4 at the time.
Move out of the way.
Yeah, other than move out of the way, right. There's my life for you, gentlemen. Can you see why I'm a closet comic fan? Because I live in a closet.
No. I would think you'd want to stay away from any type of collecting. Just totally, you know.
I'm also an only child.
I would think you would want to you know, totally like, you know, I want to own nothing.
I went to Haven.
I want to be one of those people who don't need anything.
Well, there also used to be nothing but Yankee posters on the wall up until about 4 years ago when I said I'm tired of looking at Derek Jeter when I sleep.
Did you hint? That posters to put up, right?
This is Carl. Do you guys know who that actually is? Or
yes, we do. It took a little bit of detective work, but
okay.
You want to tell him, Brad?
No, we don't want to break the fourth wall.
Okay. Oh.
All right. You know what? When we're done recording, all right. Okay. Anyway, we'll roll back to the actual conversation that we were having. Now that I've described my sad life to you people, God.
Once again.
Yes, once again, because this usually comes up once an episode. All right. So, where was I actually? Let's see. Which questions have not been asked yet? Actually, yeah. Where do you store your comics? Where in your house do you store your comics?
I haven't had the opportunity to answer that last question that you just asked.
Which one was it? Because now I completely forget.
About when do you? How long do you let your comics stack up? When do you?
There you go. So Brad, how long do you let your comics stay stack up?
I typically, when I receive my comics, either from the store or through my shipments, I immediately bag and board them using my current propylene comic book bags, resealable from BCW, with the boards that I get from BCW.
Those are actually the boards I have, the bags and boards I have. So I'm another BCW guy.
I also buy them like you do in bulk. I get 1,000 bags, 1,000 boards in one shot. Mm-hmm. I read everything when I get it. Some are cursory reads, some are serious reads. And the cursory reads are just so I can kind of vaguely keep up with what's going on in the story. It goes into my box of you need to read these again books, and I'll let them stack up 5, 6, 7 months, and then I'll read them all in one shot.
Okay.
And then, so I guess you could say every book I get is read twice. Like even the serious reads, like for instance, New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, especially nowadays, I'll read those immediately when I get them, and then I'll put them in that box, and then I'll read them again before I file them into my regular drawer boxes. I've got regular drawer boxes. And you guys that aren't in drawer boxes, you got to make the switch, man. It's just incredible, especially for that little bitty coffin that you sleep in.
Yeah, trust me, I'm getting there, man. I'm getting there. I really want to switch over.
Like I said, I keep some bags and boards in my office at work because when I get my shipments sent to my office, so I immediately open the bag, I pull them out, I open the box, I pull them out, I bag and board them, and then, you know, I'll spend the rest of the day reading comics instead of working.
Now, do you scream obscenities when you read your cursory reads?
Because of the word cursory.
Ha-ha.
I do swear in Spanish.
Okay. Just checking.
And Slovak.
Slovak.
He is my favorite character on Star Trek.
All right. So you're, I guess your collecting mentality extends a little farther than some other people, I guess.
I do like to collect, but I also love reading. I don't buy them to collect them. I buy them to read them. I just happen to care for them in a collecting sort of fashion.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you've never read a comic book just to have... I assume you've never bought a comic book just to have it, not to read it, I assume.
I read everything I buy.
Good. Everyone on this call can say that?
Yes.
Brent, are you also everyone?
Yes.
Good. Just making sure.
Yes, everyone.
One of us. I've never not read a comic book. Oh, wait. Actually, there was one. I still haven't read that Rob Liefeld issue with Teen Titans I finally picked up in the dollar bin. But that's not because I didn't want to read it. It's because I didn't want to read it.
Why did you buy it?
Because I wanted to fill my hole.
That's what she said.
It was the one issue of Teen Titans I didn't own from the most current run. So I picked it up. Wasn't going to buy it when it was coming out, but I bought it. It was in a dollar bin. Didn't have to spend that much. In fact, actually, wait. Was it even in the dollar bin? I'm trying to think. Actually, it was a quarter bin.
Was it in the bin that they would give you money if you just took it off their hands?
I got it at CGS 300.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was in the quarter bin at CGS 300. I remember because Raph pointed it out to me, and right away I'm like, dude, that's the one I'm missing. So it was right there.
Wow.
Yep. I thank you very much, Golden Eagle Comics, for giving me a bad comic book for cheap money.
I don't know if we've hit on this topic yet, but the whole buying a comic book and never reading it, mm-hmm. I have done that once, but with every intention of reading it. But something funny happened, kind of serendipity happened this weekend. When the Simpsons movie came out, there was a whole bunch of stuff that they were selling at the 7-Eleven stores. One of them was a Radioactive Man comic book that was sealed. Mm-hmm. And Simpsons, I go gaga, love them so much. So I go, well, I guess I'm eventually going to have to read it. So I just threw it in my to-read pile, and you know, it's been sitting there ever since. And just the other day, I was thinking, I guess I'll open that up and read it. But I didn't. And I went to Half Price Books this Sunday, and I bought a couple trades, and I was going through their comic book section. And lo and behold, there it was, opened. And so I got it. And so now it's in my – now I don't have to open that other book. So it'll stay trapped in the plastic.
Like my Ultimate Spider-Man number one.
Yes. But I thought that was kind of funny.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so you avoided having to open up a comic.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, you know, right after the – I also got the Krusty cereal and the Buzz Cola.
I still have my Krusty cereal. My Krusty cereal, yeah.
Yeah. And one of these days I'm probably just going to lot all that stuff together and put it on eBay.
Yeah. I admit that once upon a time I went out and bought another copy. Actually, wait, did I buy it or was it given to me? It was given to me, thank God. Yeah, it was given to me, so I didn't actually pay money on this. I had an issue of X-Force number one out of that, you know, Uber bag they put it in with the trading card. And then my hair cutter gave me a copy of X-Force number one in the bag. So now I have one in the bag and one out of the bag. That's the closest I get.
Your hair cutter?
Yeah. Who I've known since I was like two. Because he's cut my mother's hair as well. So, yeah, my hair.
Okay, I was about to say, you know, we usually call them barbers, but you prefer the name hair cutter.
Yeah, he's not
my barber. Well, because that's your mom's hair.
Yeah, he's not my barber. He's really not. He's just Jason.
Okay.
That's who I've known him as for years, so. When he had his own studio in his old apartment, I used to sit there playing PlayStation 2 until it was mine to get time to get my hair cut.
Oh, I remember PlayStation 1.
Aw, well, so do I. Jesus, man, I'm not that young.
You know, we were talking about, before we started recording, we were talking about Final Fantasy, and one of the first games I ever got on my PlayStation 1 was a Final Fantasy game. I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
Which one? FF7, I assume?
Yeah, it had to have been. It was the latest and greatest.
Yeah. It was okay. And,
I bought a book on how to play. I still couldn't understand it. I just gave up eventually.
Did you ever try playing Chrono Cross for the PlayStation?
Nah, that doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. If you get an opportunity, that's a
Chrono Trigger's coming to DS.
Yeah, no, I'm so happy. Because I've never actually played Chrono Trigger, so I need to finally play it. I played Chrono Cross, that was the second one. Chrono Cross is a time travel game. Excuse me. No,
that sounds like fun.
Chrono Trigger is a time travel game. This one's an alternate reality game. Chrono Cross. So you
okay? Is it like Final Fantasy where it's about diamonds and swords and stuff like that?
It's got a similar battle system to Final Fantasy, but it's a lot easier to understand.
Good.
Yeah. How does going or not going to a comic shop affect your buying? That is, do you set yourself a limit when you're going to purchase comics? And if you go over that limit, will you not buy a specific comic book? That is, for instance, if you go out and you say, I'm only going to spend $20 at the store, or I'm only going to spend such and such on this amount of order here, will you not pick up a comic book that you've been picking up just to stay within that limit, or will you make an exception? And we'll go with Brent here first.
I think ordering online has changed my buying habits. Used to be in the store, I'd just go in, pick up whatever's on my list, look at the shelf, pick up whatever else was interesting or that I missed on my list, and then now I stick to what I'm getting. And, you know, like what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode where, I'm looking at this thing like Final Crisis Rogue's Revenge. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get this. It's 5 parts. I'm not reading The Flash now. And then they changed it from 5 parts to 3 double-sized. And I was like, okay, done deal. You sold me 3 issues. I can do that. Easy. Whereas I probably would have just picked those up in the shop. But since I was buying them online, I was like, nah, I'm not going to spend that money because, I don't know, I just don't want to spend that money. Because, it's different when you're making the order from the whole month, when you see that total up in the corner, rather than, just going in from week to week, having $40 in your wallet and going, all right, I could spend this from cash or I can put it on my debit card and spend however much it costs. And usually it'd be about $35 when I was going to the store every week.
Well, ordering online changed the way I go about things as well, because now I order things online and I try my best not to accidentally get that book in the store as well. So I'll actually create a spreadsheet of that week's comics that I'm going to be getting in the store versus the ones I'm going to be getting online, and that's how I'll purchase. There will occasionally be one that slips through the cracks, and then I got to go and track that one down the next week. Or if the place is out of it, and that's another problem. But I got lucky 2 weeks ago. Raph happened to be on call at Midtown, and he had already purchased and bought his issue of Mighty Avengers, and Midtown was out of it, so he just gave me his issue, which was awesome of him. And he obviously just purchased another one, and I'll pay him back for it the next time I see him. So that saved me from having a hole in Mighty Avengers. And Chris wasn't nearly as lucky, however. I needed to track down an issue for her. I tried 3 different comic shops, and eventually still managed to get it at Midtown Comics the next week, yet again put aside by Raph. So I thank Raph yet again. That's what happened with that. But my buying habits have changed by doing things online. But I'm going to go with Frank here as well. Yeah, I guess, how do you go about your buying? I mean, do you not pick up a book because you've reached your spending limit, or will you make an exception?
I do have a limit every month, so I try not to go over it. I have had to choose. Recently, I wanted to get the Too Cool to Be Forgotten. It's put out by Top Shelf, the same guy who did Box Office Poison.
Okay.
I can't think of that gentleman's name. But he has a new book coming out, and so I had gone over my budget, and so I was trying to finagle a way to get that book, and I couldn't because it just went over my budget. So just couldn't do it. So, yeah, I'm pretty good about budgeting myself. But every so often I do go crazy. I do use mail order. I do use discount comic book services to get my books. But I was, while we were setting this up, I was thinking if I'd ever gone out and gotten a book that I had ordered. And I did that with Sinestro Corps when it came out. And mostly because it was such a big surprise. It seemed like the second it came out, people had hit the boards. And they were talking about how incredible the ending was and stuff. And I couldn't wait. So I had pre-ordered it, but I went ahead and I went out and I bought it that same day, too, just to read it.
Well, the only other time I've made that exception was with the first issue of Secret Invasion and the, I think it was the New Avengers. No, excuse me, it was the Mighty Avengers that went along with it. I actually picked up in the store along with the ones that were coming in my order, because the ones that were coming in my order were for free anyway. So I figured, all right, if I'm going to spend the money, I might as well do it, because damn it, I wanted to know what the hell was happening. So I went out and bought those two as well. Only time I'm going to do it, I swear. Swear to God. Swear to God. Brad.
Alex Robinson.
Alex Robinson? Go ahead.
Yeah, Brad just sent me a little PM. Yes. Thank you, Brad.
Okay. Excellent.
You're welcome.
And what about you, Brad? How do your spending limits affect what you buy?
Well, that's the main reason I went to DCB Service, so I could get more books for the same amount of money. In theory, you know, it's probably... tended to spend a little more with DCBS than I would normally at the store, but I'm because it's so daggum easy. If you only have so much money, you can't buy everything you want. I'll decide, okay, I have to put one of these books back. What's it going to be? Well, this issue of New Avengers, I could probably borrow from somebody. I could probably pick it up, you know, a couple months down at a con in a box. I'll put this back because I don't have any. I don't have any fear that I won't be able to pick this up. But this new issue of Wasteland, I don't know. I missed the first issue of Wasteland. I may not be able to find this. So, you know, if it's a smaller book, you know, I'll put a bigger book down because I have a better chance of getting that at a later time than the smaller book. And, you know, like I said, if you only have $20, you can't buy $23 worth of books.
Well, how easy is it for you to get to a comic shop, by the way, out of curiosity?
It's very easy. Where I work, there's a few within driving distance. And I still do go to the comic book store. In fact, like you, I get Secret Invasion in my shipment, but I'll also drive to the store on Wednesday and pick up the new issue. And that'll be that reader copy that I mentioned earlier, and the other one will be nice and safe and sound, and it's bag and board.
Right.
It is easy to get to the store, and even though I do get most of my stuff from DCBS, I still will go to the store and pick something up every once in a while.
For final prices, and you're getting the alternate cover, how do you know which cover you're going to get at the store? Do you get your books weekly?
Well, I'm not buying a second copy of Final Crisis.
Oh?
Yes.
Unless I run out of toilet paper, I won't buy a second copy of Final Crisis.
Okay, well, hypothetically...
Oh, God, we're getting the hypotheticals now? Look out.
Well, it's a 50-50 cover. You want to buy a second copy. Just buy two of one or one of each and then hope you get one of each.
Well,
never mind.
In that hypothetical situation, like if it was Final Crisis, if that was, I'm sorry, Secret Invasion, if that was the case with Secret Invasion, I'm so invested in that story that I'll go buy a copy regardless of what copy's coming to me in the mail. And if I end up with two of the same, so be it. I don't care.
Hey, I mean, Final Crisis number 2 at least was a little better than Final Crisis number 1, so maybe by the end I'll be enjoying it at least a little bit. Maybe. Hopefully.
You know, there's a problem when they say, oh, it gets better by issue 3.
Yeah.
It really picks up in issue 3.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Really.
You know, as long as we're bad-mouthing Final Crisis, I'll say something I said on one of our shows recently. In the first issue of Crisis on Infinite Earths, I knew what the crisis was. In the first issue of Infinite Crisis, I knew what the crisis was. We're 2 issues in, and I don't know what the crisis is.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You know why they call it Final Crisis? Because you're not going to find out what the crisis is until the final issue.
Possibly so.
We ran out of toilet paper in the DC Universe.
Orion was killed trying to get more toilet paper.
That is a disaster. That is a crisis. I don't know if you guys have ever been in that situation.
Just trying to go to Costco.
It's scary, and it's nerve-wracking, and you just don't know what to do because you're trapped.
Well, trying to use Kleenex is not as easy as it sounds.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I've done that. It ain't pretty.
And don't use a shower curtain.
You have to, double up. You have to go, like, four or five.
Well, unless you have a spare shower curtain.
Hey, Frank, your mom called.
usually your friends don't appreciate it, especially if you're at their house and... You know, it's a great way to ruin friendships.
Hey, Frank, did you spill chocolate on my shower curtain?
That ain't chocolate! And I was never invited over again.
Yes, Raph would say sacrilegious. But he's not on the call, so... And on that note...
That's what we call a tangent.
So, all right, before we go to the forum comments, because you guys actually run your own podcast, I'm going to ask if you guys have any questions you'd like to ask Brent and me about this topic.
Who are you guys again?
I'm Bob from accounting.
What's the name of your show?
Time and Comics.
What are you guys talking about?
It took me 5 minutes and 30 seconds to read Final Crest number 2. A nice, quick, enjoyable read if you're taking that phantom shit.
Oh, dear. But in all seriousness.
What do you guys, Ian, what's rocking your boat right now? What are you reading? Well, what's making you happy?
Well, right now, probably the number one on my stack is Blue Beetle. I am adoring Blue Beetle, and I didn't actually catch up to that until I read like the 6 issues I had on hand. Right off the bat, and again, that goes back to what we were talking about before, the comic collecting and comic buying. Sometimes I'll have so many comics lying around that I don't get to read a certain amount of issues until they're all piled up. So I read 6 issues of Blue Beetle down pat, now I'm all caught up, and I can't wait till the next issue comes out. So that's on the top of my stack. I've been enjoying also, and I know that the people are split on this, but I've been enjoying Batman R.I.P., and whenever I get an issue with that, I'm go ahead and reading it. Nightwing in particular has been great. Robin too. But on the Marvel side, Nova, Ms. Marvel, Mighty Avengers, and New Avengers are probably the top 4 for Marvel right now, in my opinion. They've just been great.
And what about you, Brent? What's rocking your world?
Thor, Ages of Thunder, and Reign of Blood. I love those one shots. I thought they were great.
Blood.
DC Blue Beetle is while I'm waiting for the new writer to kick up, because I was caught up for a long time with that. Final Crisis is not exciting. What am I liking? Action Comics. Love the new Brainiac issue, the first one that came out so far.
That was pretty funky, delicious.
Yeah, it was great. I loved the Daily Planet stuff. That was my favorite part of that issue. Green Lantern is rocking my world. I just love Ivan Reis's art. I'm enjoying Justice League and Justice Society, even though Justice Society feels like we're on the same damn story for the 20th issue.
That's because you are on the same damn story for the 20th issue, but damn, am I enjoying it.
It's interesting. I wish we'd just move on to something else. I don't know. Kind of wish they'd wrap up and we'd go somewhere else with that, but that's a different thing.
They'll go to Canada.
I don't know. Nothing I've read in the past, like, 2 shipments have made me go, like, holy crap, this is awesome, other than the Thor thing.
Ooh, the 12.
So.
The 12 also.
That is good.
That's one that I forgot to mention. That's another wonderful series. It's probably the best thing I've ever read that JMS has done.
And are you guys also reading Superpowers by Dynamite?
You know, it's funny, I have all the issues to it, and I haven't read one yet.
I read the first 2, and it was like, it was really kind of a meh. It's so inferior to the 12. So inferior. And right. It's somewhat the same story, somewhat.
Well, we all know how...
Same Brad concept, at least.
We all know how Brad feels about Alex Ross, so...
I'll go out of my way to avoid buying those... what's the word I'm looking for? Unnecessary covers, you know, that Alex Ross does. It's just... I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Kingdom Come, and I like Heroes, or not Heroes, but Marvels. But I don't know. I'm just sick of seeing Alex Ross covers. I mean, he's good, but he's not the Second Coming.
Yeah, there are other better people out there.
Well, he has such a distinct style, and you know, so sometimes you just want something different.
Right.
You know, having said Gabriel Braugh or something. The guy who did Umbrella Academy, what's his name? Gabriel Ba?
I think it's Ba, yeah.
Ba.
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 Who's the guy who's doing the covers on Daredevil? Was it Djurjevic or something?
Djurjevic?
Yeah, Djurjevic. Yeah, his art is amazing. And, I mean, that's another painted style look that I think does a lot better than what Alex Ross has been doing lately.
You know, like I said, Kingdom Come and Marvels would not have been what they are if it wasn't for Alex Ross. You think of, who's another painter? Think of Kingdom Come as painted by Djurjevic. It wouldn't be the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it just wouldn't. And I appreciate that. However, I'm just sick of seeing Alex Ross covers.
I get that because there's sort of like an oversaturation with him because when he does one, he does like seven. You know,
it's like having steak every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that from experience because after the 4th of July barbecue I had, we had hamburgers for like 3 days in a row because there were leftover hamburgers. And you can only have hamburgers so many days.
Yeah.
They were good, though.
Is your mom listening?
No. My girlfriend made them. Anyway, Brad, you got any questions you want to ask the crew?
Actually, I did, but then Frank started talking, and I just got lost in his dulcet tones that I forgot what my question was.
What are you talking about?
I like turtles.
I have a pleasant voice.
No, I was gonna ask, Brent, do you use drawer boxes?
No, I got six short boxes underneath my desk, and they barely fit underneath that space. I'm quickly filling them up, and I don't know what to do now.
I'm telling you, you guys, you included, Ian, you got to get on them drawer boxes. I have 19 drawer boxes, four of which are filled with trades. The rest are singles. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest invention since Cheetos.
Whoa.
And I've always I've been on record saying the Cheetos are one of God's greatest creations. I'm going to have to put drawer boxes in there also.
That's a pretty valiant statement.
Well, you know, seriously, have you ever seen them in person?
What, Cheetos?
I don't know. If drawer boxes leave that powder on your fingers like Cheetos do, I don't know if I want them. It's
no,
a pain.
Drawer boxes are completely cheese powder free.
Okay, good. I hope that they...
How are they like Cheetos?
I hope
and
in
that's
the advertisement.
And that's the drawback, because they don't have that cheese powder.
I hope in the advertisements themselves they say, drawer boxes, we don't have cheese residue.
And it's just the toes without the cheese?
The drawer boxes, I can't say enough good about them. You know, we all know what it's like to have long boxes stacked on top of each other, and you've got to get in that bottom drawer, so you got to remove the top three or four.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the rear.
Yeah. How did nobody think of this concept up until then?
How did no one think of a Sinestro core before?
It's crazy.
It's kind of funny how just these things that seem so obvious now are just like, how could that not exist?
Okay. It's a ketchup bottle, but it opens from the bottom. Okay?
And it's not made of glass, so you can squeeze it. So you're not mixing your curds and your juices.
Yes.
Your juice and your pulp.
Yeah, your
juice
and
your pulp.
And just like those orange juice containers where they finally, you know, got smart and had the little twist off as opposed to having to actually open up a container.
Right.
All right, so let's actually read the forum comments before we go entirely into insanity here. All right, so Ziggo had these comments to make, and if you have any comments to make on said comments, you can make comments after the comments. I used to buy comics that looked interesting just to get into them, and yet I would not read them. Next thing I know, I had three issues of a miniseries, so I ended up buying the rest to complete the series, even if I didn't start reading them. I did that for a while because I wanted to get into comics people were talking about, but I found out it was a waste of money and space. I don't look at the prices of comic books I get, whatever looks interesting and catches my attention, but generally I would pick up a comic, read it, and put it away. If I didn't understand a few things, I'd go back to it, or I would just wait for the trade paperback. The main reason I collect comic books and want them in good condition is not how much they are or would be worth financially, but I do it because I love the story so much I want them to be preserved. I don't know what is the most expensive comic I have, but the comic that I have that means a lot to me and has so much sentimental value is a first printing of Green Lantern Rebirth number 1, because it's the comic that really got me into comics. After that, I guess it would be the future issue of Jason Todd number 1, Shifty Eyes. And that's... yeah, and...
right.
That Jason Todd number 1, you're going to wait a while, buddy. Sorry, just saying.
I'd buy that book, and I'd read it.
Ooh. Even if Judd Winnick read it?
Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with Judd Winnick. You know, something that guy said... I don't understand why he would buy a comic because it looked interesting and then not read it. Well, if something looked interesting, aren't you going to want to read it?
Well, it's possible he just hasn't gotten to it yet. I mean, like, there are plenty of people I know that, you know, buy comics to look interesting. They stack up because they don't have all the time in the world to read comics and then don't get to them for 3 or 4 months. You know, like a certain Adam Murdo I know, you know, that... that, you know, is what, like 12 years behind or something like that, you know? It's like they stack up, and before you know it, oh, crap, I got to go and read them.
I guess I reacted that way because, like I said earlier, when I get my shipments, I go through every book. I mean, you know, some may get a cursory read, but I go through them all. And I guess, I mean, I have to flip through every book I get. I just have to. It's part of me. It's my being. It's like, if I don't, it's like, I just know, oh, I haven't gone through that book yet. Oh, well, I really got to work on this project for work. Eh, I can wait until I flip through the latest issue of Daredevil. Wouldn't you know I picked the one comic that I don't buy monthly for the example?
Of course.
Yeah. No, that's when you go, oh, my stomach's acting up for lunch. Go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's a ticket.
I still got to get through all my Richie Riches. I still got several to go through.
It's impossible for you to be serious, isn't it, Frank?
Yes.
See, I was actually going to ask for a minute, how are those Richie Riches?
Very complicated. The stories are just so deep and entrenched in history.
Yeah, in fact, I heard that in one of them, Richie Rich loses his money and has to find his money. Then he finds out it was lost in his money.
Yes. That's very money of you.
He found out it was in the last place he looked.
Do you see my hat?
Money.
Wait, I have to
Richie
make
Rich is so money he doesn't even know it.
Oh, snap! I have to make a Penny Arcade reference here. Do you see my hat? It's made of money!
I think that was a little after my time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but that was funny.
Just the way I said it.
Yeah. Well, because you used the word Penny Arcade and then a money hat. It just made me laugh. Yeah.
Sure.
Chirp. Yes, Brent Chirp. Bird?
Chirp.
Chirp?
No, that's the crickets in the background.
Oh,
on
okay.
In Orlando.
Oh, okay.
Chirping.
Okay, yeah, because I thought you were a chirping bird for a minute. Cassina, how about reading the next comment?
Chirp.
That wasn't the next comment.
John Hook says, who was on our Invincible Iron Man 22 pages a couple while back. That doesn't make sense.
Anyway.
I think I'm more of a comic buyer. I buy comics that have storylines I want to follow. I'll try a new title based on the creative team sometimes, but it always boils down to the characters and stories that keep me on the title. So I mostly buy for entertainment, much less, if at all, for a collectible value of a comic. The one comic I bought as a collectible item was here for a meager $100 profit. That was Hulk 181 back in 93 or 94. That was Wolverine, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Okay. The comic collections I cherish and hold on to are worth more to me due to the stories they tell and not the market value. I would never trade or sell my Elementals or Mage collections. I think my most expensive comic now may be Walking Dead number 1, or maybe Iron Fist 14. Can't think of anything else that would be a high dollar collectible. Why would Iron Fist 14 be expensive?
Because that's the one where he ate that bowl of cereal and it turned him inside out.
Wait, what?
Ask a question, get a stupid answer.
I was trying to be funny and I wasn't.
Fair,
oh,
fair.
Heck.
You want a cookie?
Yeah.
Too bad. Yeah, I'm on the internet. I can't give it to you.
Oh.
Yes, you can. Your computer has cookies.
my browser has cookies. You know, when I first heard that, that browsers have cookies, I actually got a little excited.
You can delete all your cookies and then get more cookies, and then I'll be like,
I know.
Did something happen in the original Iron Fist number 14 that was important? I mean, not the current one. I mean, like the one from the ages ago.
Okay.
Yeah, because maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe it was the first appearance of Iron Fist. Maybe he didn't appear for 14 issues.
I know.
It was a very poorly planned out comic book.
Yeah. For 14 issues, they're wondering, I wonder who Iron Fist is.
I came up with a name, finally.
I was going to go with Iron Lung originally, but that didn't really explain my powers. My ability to talk to fish is useless. All right. Well, while Brad looks it up, let's head over to Jay Tomio. First, I want to say I don't think the two are in opposition. Many people don't buy new comics but do collect comics, and many, I'm sure, read comics and throw them away and equally everything in between. I believe we have both varieties on this phone call right now. How much care do you take with your comics? He says everything goes into a Mylite 2, and then in an archive, a 4mm Mylar with a full back. Holy crap. That said, I don't buy a lot of new comics and monthlies anymore. This is basically 90% back issues. Everything is an environment-controlled room, no sunshine, fully insured, maybe even over-insured. Well, first off, Jay, I want to be in your comic book vault someday because it sounds like it's a lot of fun. So I want to visit. And that issue of Iron Fist, by the way, if you could just let us in on the Iron Fist number 14 thing sometime in the near future, let us know, okay? Thanks. All right, have there been any comic books you bought simply to buy? He said several thousand. I often buy trades or hardcovers and find out what Silver Age books I want in high grade. I collect some Golden Age books for nothing more than the fact I like the covers. What is the most expensive comic book he has? He says, I've sold less than a dozen comics in my life, so intent to sell is never in my mind. There are a couple of back issues I have that I wouldn't mind selling if the same book came up for sale in a higher grade and my original became my undercopy. I've sold books, but not ever really for the purpose of a flip, though I'm certainly not against the notion, as it makes sense to want more. Most expensive book? Probably a CGC 9.8 of Fantastic Four number 48, first Silver Surfer / Galactus appearance. That's a guess, though. I honestly don't keep up with the stat. Do you read your book once and put them away? He says, if I have a monthly now, I couldn't care less about the condition. I don't purposely shred them or anything, but I'm not looking to keep them in great shape or anything. Frank actually shreds his books and then uses them to make bird feeders.
Yes, and they're very colorful.
I'm glad to hear. Do you CGC your books or plan on using the service? I have a few boxes of CGC books. In my honest opinion, if you are collecting high-grade Golden Age or Silver Age books and spending big money, and not one of a few dozen people who know what they are doing, you are a damn fool for not buying CGC books. Excuse me, let me say that better. You are a damn fool for not buying CGC books, that's better, or at least taking a substantial risk. Now, plenty of people buy just to own, and this doesn't apply to them, but if you drop $8,000 or even $2,000 on a book online blind for a dealer who isn't a known commodity, and you don't have specific assurances that it is not restored and truly the grade stated, you are fooling yourself. Yeah, okay, that'll work. It's not for everyone, but if you are collecting HG books, it has to be a consideration. As somebody who lives overseas, and most dealers are in the States, most of my purchases are online and I collect high-grade books. I have to have assurances, plus it almost guarantees you will get close to what you paid if you spent reasonably smart back if you do resell with little qualification. To some of the clueless CGC is still under test. That's BS and simply ignoring the truth. There is no question that the higher sales in this hobby occur with graded books. There's a reason why you can buy a raw Harbinger number 1 near mint on eBay for around $60. It was like $20 a few months ago. But if you buy a graded one, expect to drop at least $1,500 and two recent sales of over $2,500. Prices on high-grade books are not going down. Records are broken every month, and these are being moved by the most reputable dealers and collectors in the world. These aren't Joe Blow from outside of the hobby getting ripped off who don't know what they are doing. These are the players at the top of the hobby, many of whom have been for decades. I know Joe Blow. He's a nice guy. Don't knock him.
This guy you're reading from, he obviously is, or at least knows a lot about purchasing these books. Because, I mean, these levels that I would never dream of purchasing a book at.
Right. No, and I'm in
the $1,000 level.
Yeah, I'm there as well. I mean, I barely make $1,000 a month, so I certainly wouldn't be buying a $1,000 book. But hey, if he can afford it, then I guess more power to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far current tendencies, I switched to almost 100% hardcover. It's not that I can't afford buying monthlies, it's just that I refuse to pay for single reads that take me no longer than 5 minutes to get through. I'm a quick reader as it is, but it's getting ridiculous. As far as what I collect, it could be said that I kind of just buy what catches my eye with Golden Age. Great GGA and horror comics in the Golden Age. I'm looking at some Ray Boy Marvel Family covers lately. By far, the best covers and comics are found in the Golden Age, in my honest opinion. I love catching Matt Baker or L.B. Cole work for a good price. With the Silver Age, I collect mostly HGDC. Marvel Silver Age is kind of easy and a little boring for my taste. Outside of some early Fantastic Four works, I'm almost completely uninterested in Silver Age Marvel. I love the DC War books in the Silver Age, and this continues into the Bronze Age with war, horror, and mystery books, with gorgeous work by people like Adams, Wrightson, Carday, Aparo, Heath, Kubert, Joe, Kubert, obviously, etc. Regarding moderns, I collect Valiants and buy some G.I. Joe, Miracle Man, and some certain issues like Comico number 2. I also collect early Teen Titans, and that included the two early Brave and the Bold appearances. I also grab early Phantom Stranger issues, and that includes Showcase number 80, Sweet Adams cover. Beyond that, I'll just buy anything that catches my eye at the moment, and I'll basically buy any and every hardcover that collects any work that comes out, as long as it's in color, if originally in color. I do find my interest increasingly going the OA route, which is mostly art from that era, which is mid-80s on. I assume he meant OA and not OA, but when I see OA, I think OA the planet. So
yeah. This guy's definitely collecting on a level that's way beyond me.
Yeah, and way above, I think, all of us, for that matter. But, I mean, Brad, you obviously are not on his level, but, I mean, can you understand why a guy like him would go CGC?
Yeah, I guess I can see his point of view. I mean, even though the CGC thing is not for me, I guess I can see what he's saying.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, you know, that's all it is, you know.
I guess the CGC thing is actually, it provides a scale that, you know, I know there's another game in town, but it provides a scale for people who are really into it and something that can be agreed on.
Right.
You know, what is a 9, what is an 8, what is a 7?
But what kills me is that it's just a couple of guys decided they're the experts, and now everybody's just buying into what they have to say. I think that's what bothers me about it.
All right, that's it. I just decided, just this moment, I am the expert at grading New York Yankees glasses.
I am the expert at grading boobies.
Breast inspection. Have you tried that at the beach at all?
Yes, I've worn my FBI T-shirt, federal bikini inspector, and let me tell you guys, that T-shirt works.
Wow, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work, does it?
I actually grew up in a beach town, and I'm pretty sure I may have had that T-shirt like when I was in seventh grade.
Sweet.
The FBI T-shirt. But you know, it was like everyone had that. So
Let's move on to Equinox, who, in his words, my parents had my balls in a sling. In response to the first one about caring about your comics you purchase, they take care. Definitely not as much as any true collector does. I store my comics 6 or 8 issues per bag with no backing boards. Mainly
what?
My long boxes are a means to keep all my books in one place, not have them spread out all over the house. I'm a perfect candidate for getting books in trade format, except I don't have the patience to wait that long for stories I love. I think Brad just exploded.
I just six books per bag.
Yeah,
he must be using like Silver Age size bags or something.
One would hope,
because like the current bags that I use are 6 7/8 inch wide. There's no way I could. I mean, I've put two in a bag, but there's no way I could put six in there. He must have large bags. I just realized what I said. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he's got large bags, all right.
Lucky.
Gosh, sweet. To the, have there been any comic books you bought simply to buy? He says, I purchased duplicate copies of certain issues of books, but I've never bought an issue or book and then not read it eventually. Most expensive comic in your collection? He said, maybe Giant Size X-Men number one, but since I haven't really priced out my individual issues in quite a while, that could have changed. Giant Size X-Men number one, I know, is usually costs a lot. So that's probably the one. And actually, for him, nice score, because I'd love to own that issue.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. Where do you store your comics? He says, in regular long boxes in the garage or shelves, but once all my kids grow up and move out, I'll be using one of their rooms for my books.
Dude, you got to get those books out of the garage, man.
Yeah.
Too dangerous. Weather, moisture, bad place for comics.
Well, maybe it's a above garage. Maybe it's above ground.
It could be environmentally controlled.
And maybe it's in the Fortress of Solitude.
Maybe it's in maybe it's portable to the negative zone.
That's a possibility. You never know.
Maybe his garage has a door on the front.
Moving on. Do you read your books once and put them away, or do you let them accumulate? He says a little of both. With storylines that really blow my mind, I'll pull out all the issues once everything is complete and read all the books start to finish. The last time this happened was with Sinestro Corps War issues of Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps. Seems to be a going trend here, people really liking Sinestro Corps War, but that's supposed to happen. Do you CGC your books? He says, never have slabbed any books, and I don't plan on doing so in the future. Their service just seems so 90s. So personally, I don't see what a true comic geek would really need to use them for. Books are meant to be read, not graded. And that's Equinox Chris Chavez, my man. So thank you very much for the comments. And I agree that they should be read, not graded.
I agree as well.
Yes.
Yay.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick. Why is bagging and boarding not the same thing as grading and slabbing?
Bagging and boarding, you can easily take them out and read them whenever you want. And you're not paying somebody else to tell you how good your comic is.
Okay, I just thought I'd play devil's advocate with that question.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, Frank, what do you think?
No, I agree with that because, you know, bagging and boarding, you can get it out anytime you want, you know, review it and stuff like that. But once it's sealed up in that thing, you know, it's not meant to come out of it. And everyone's kind of agreed that it's being graded on these, whether you agree with it or not. It's being graded on these aspects, and this is the number that it's given to. So that's going to be assigned to it. You know, in one scenario you can read it, in the other scenario you can't. And it's meant not so much as a collection, but maybe as a financial device. Maybe.
Well, that's sort of what the 90s speculation era was all about.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, where people thought that they could buy these comic books and that they were going to be able to, like, you know, like, finance their college fund with them.
Yeah.
Which didn't exactly turn out, now, did it?
No, it didn't.
Mm-hmm. From there to Brody is God we go. I read, bag, board, read again later, put back in said bag with board. I read my books, but I also keep them in great shape, so I collect as well. Nice simple comment. Rinse, lather, repeat. All right, so moving on to Spidey Stuk or something like that, or Spidey Stee UK, I don't know, however you pronounce it. And for those of you wondering where Brent went, I'm wondering too, so hopefully he's not dead. All right, moving on. How much care do you take with the comics you purchase? I bag and board every comic I buy, comics such as Hulk 4 with the green and red covers I put together. Most of my comics single board, but there has been a few I put three or more in. Have there been any comic books you bought simply to buy? He says, not really, but I'd say any of the big event covers with variants such as Final Crisis and Secret Invasion. If so, why? Variants are rare and good items as a collector's item. I guess so. Most expensive comic, he says, Amazing Spider-Man 39, 40, and 122 are my most expensive comics, costing me altogether 150 English pounds.
I'm from Europe. I'm so cool.
Sorry,
Spider Sturt. I was being mean.
Their money costs more than ours.
Now I feel bad. Sorry, Spidey Stewart.
I also have the complete Alias run with the What If, which I'm quite proud of finding. Where do you store your comics? I store them in three different places: the filing cabinet, in my cupboard, and finally in long boxes under my bed. In a cupboard.
He has a high bed.
Yeah. Whoa. I could never fit long boxes under my bed. If I did, I would break my bed.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you read books once and put them away? He says, most comics I read once or twice, then read them again a few weeks later. Event books such as Final Crisis and Secret Invasion, I read the issues that may have given you clues to tell you what happened in the past. I read a few times to pick up on the how and the why. And do you CGC your books or plan to use a service? Not yet, as I've currently just lost my job, and so when I get money, I will start.
Well, I hope you find a job.
I hope so, too. Red Wright 88. I have never liked the term collecting. The fact of the matter is, if you purchase a comic, read it, and keep it instead of throwing it out, then you are collecting them, whether you like it or not. The more proper term would be speculating or investing in comics, of which I do not do. I do not get variants unless that is the cover, which is shipped in my Mile High Comics pull list. And the only reason I bag and board is so the comics can hopefully be available for rereading at a later date. And that's Red Wright 88. Which makes sense, because you want to be able to read your comics for another time. Well, anyway, okay, so Brent's back on the call now that he got out of his coma. So, You want to just read Coate's comments since they're the last ones on the thread?
Coate, I read Spider-Man, that's about it. Thank you, the end.
The views expressed by Brent Cassina are not necessarily the views expressed by Comic Timing or any of its affiliates. Thank you very much. So you want me to read them, Brent?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, here we go. How much care do you take with the comics you purchase? All my comics are bagged and boarded using two pieces of Scotch tape. I use poly bags because they're cheap, but one day I'd like to start switching over to Mylars. When I'm going to read one, I make sure the area is clean and I lay it flat. I never read floppies reclining. I have no intention to ever sell them, but I want them to be in the best shape possible. I'm OCD as all hell. Have there been any comic books you bought simply to buy and not to read? He said, I bought the variant to Batman 655 for the Adam Kubert cover. I almost never buy variants, but I really dig those Kubert covers done on the brownish paper. Most expensive comic in your collection, it would be a copy of Amazing Spider-Man number 6, which cost $157. Probably my favorite issue of Amazing Spider-Man. I got it framed on my wall and don't plan on selling it. Where do you store your comics? In my drawer boxes in my closet. Yet another drawer boxes guy. So congratulations on that, Brad. Do you read your books once and put them away? He said, I usually read my books once and then file them away. It's been a while since the last issue. I may pull out the previous issues for a refresher. And do you CGC your books? He says, I don't plan on CGCing my books. I buy comics to read them, not to vacuum seal them away. So there you go. Vacuum sealing. Fun for the whole family.
Here, here.
Here, indeed. All right, so I guess we're done. Says, first off, thank Brad and Frank for being on the show. It's a hell of a lot of fun to have a half hour wasted people on. Be more than a half hour. It's good stuff.
Yeah, Ian, our pleasure. It was a lot of fun, and we'd like to have you on our show as soon as we can think of a topic and all that good stuff.
Yay!
Do you like comics?
Thanks, guys.
Yes, I like comics. Do you like comics?
Maybe we could talk about that.
Ooh, what a good idea. I also like other things like movies and television and stuff, so... Just to let you know, I'm not just a comics guy.
Okay.
We do talk about movies and television shows on our show, so that probably would work out really well.
Yay. I like stuff.
Thanks for
me
asking
too.
Us to be on the show, guys.
It's great to have you on, man. And I speak for Brent when I say thank you, because I'm not sure if he's awake. But
Sorry I had to put up with my whatever you call it.
Whatever you call it.
With your narcolepsy?
My dad was a narcoleptic in the Army.
Just wait until you hear the One More Day episode. You'll realize that this is not the first time.
Yeah, it's not the first time, and I have a feeling it's not going to be the last time as long as he's working at the camp. Damn, man, those kids take a lot out of you.
Yeah, man.
All right, but anyway,
thanks,
Brent,
guys.
All right, well, let me outro you, Brent, just so you can get some rest. All right. You got anything?
I'm good. A little while longer.
Sure, you good? You got anything? I'm coming on BK's Bullets.
Yeah,
to talk about
right now. No.
Nothing at all.
We have our movie specials. Oh, what?
I haven't seen Hellboy 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I haven't seen that. Okay, I haven't read that many Hellboy comics in my life. So. All
right, Ian.
Yeah.
Your assignment this week.
Uh huh.
Is go watch Wanted.
Uh huh.
And go see Hellboy 1 and 2.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. I'll try.
And Brent.
Yeah.
Your assignment is to make me a sandwich, preferably turkey, on whole wheat.
I'll call your mom and ask her.
Okay. She'll tell you how I like it.
Actually, Brent's assignment is to get an IV drip of Starbucks coffee that he can drink via IV while doing podcasts. So he doesn't
Starbucks coffee. You guys with your name brand coffee all being all fancy
okay,
and stuff.
Okay, fine. Hank's Bean Emporium coffee, better.
Hank's Bean Emporium. I hate that guy.
What did he ever do to you?
Anyway, he made crappy coffee.
It's like farts.
Oh, did you?
I think he farts in the beans. That's just what I'm thinking.
Did you know that there's an actual coffee that's made from the excretions of a cat?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do know this.
The super expensive coffee.
What is are you absolutely serious?
I'm absolutely serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cat ingests the beans, and then they take the digested beans and make coffee out of them.
Yes, it tastes really shitty.
Hi-oh! Oh, boy. So either of you dudes want to tell the listening folks out there what's upcoming on Half Hour Wasted?
Well, we kind of go on our cuff. You know, cuff?
Yeah.
Brad, what's coming up on the show?
Okay, by the time people hear this, we will have released our 78th episode, which will contain a review of Wanted and Incredible Hulk. And episode 79 is just more comic talk and general. It's kind of one of those episodes that we really didn't plan ahead of time, and it was more like stream of consciousness.
Right.
Because we're lazy.
Dude, you guys are good at that.
Well, hey, we appreciate
lazy.
It.
Yes,
and
we
then
are.
We're also making plans for our 100th episode, which, Frank, I've done some calculations. It'll either be late November or early December. So we're trying to prepare. Episode 50 came up on us really fast, and we kind of threw something together, and we lucked out with that one. But we're planning something big for episode 100, so we'll try.
For episode 100, you should waste an hour.
Yeah, we've done that. The we've had serious conversations about having to change the name of our show because
what inordinate amount of time's wasted.
Yeah, I think if we change the name to 2 half hours wasted, it would probably be more appropriate. But
well, yeah, most of your movie ones are at least an hour long, so I guess you can go that route.
Yeah.
Hey, whenever you dudes want either of us on, we're certainly available. So, just give us
okay.
a
call. Well, it's got to be both of you. It can't be, unless of course Brent's sleeping, then it could just be you.
What? Right?
Chirp chirp.
See, I can't tell whether or not Brent was kidding on that one.
I can't even hear Brent, so I'm assuming he's asleep.
Yeah, no, he's like half asleep right now. So he's just saying, "Yes, I would love to be on your show. Thank you very much."
Okay, we'll talk
to
Ranger.
Thank you very much.
There you go, that's better. So, and you can find Half Hour Wasted at
halfhourwasted.com. We're also on the comics forums. And you can reach us at halfhourwasted@gmail.com or Frank at halfhourwasted.com or Brad at halfhourwasted.com.
Or Frank's mom at halfhourwasted.com.
Or Frank's mom, yes.
Excellent.
If you need Frank's mom's cell phone number, just write me a email and I'll give it to you.
Okay.
She's very receptive.
Good. Good. Very good to hear. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com. It's graciously hosted by the Comic Geekspeak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on dig.com. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. So yet again, thanks to Frank and Brad for being on the show. Hope to have you back on sometime soon, my boys.
Thank you, guys.
Our pleasure.
All right. And thanks to the half-awake Brent for being half-awake.
Half-awake, half-awasted.
Woo! Woo! And as always, there's always time for comics.
Mom?
Yes, Frank.
Mom.
What can I do for you here?
Okay. For some reason, Skype is muting my microphone when it starts. That's really fucking
weird. Oh, okay.
Okay. Hold on.
I was talking to my mother.
Oh, really?
So, Frank, did you have a good date last week?
Oh, Mom. People just don't understand me. I want to come home for the summer.
Oh, dear, dear. You can't do that. You can't give up on your dream.
But, Mom, you know my only dream is to accomplish my many dreams.
Yes, dear, this way you can come home. Besides, me and your father are having a wonderful time here without you.
I know, you keep reminding me of that. Mom, I hate you guys. I want to move back.
Sorry, Frank, but we're going to have to cut the cord.
Not again.
You should have done it 20 years ago. You're 40 now.
I used to buy comments. Great. I said comments 500 times, and then I say, I used to buy comments that look interesting. All right, anyway.
Yeah, feed me, Mama Bird.
I'd rather not.
Regurgitated worm.
I'd really rather not, Brent. I don't know what the hell you're into. Jesus, you see what I have to put up
with? Neither do I.
But let's switch it over. Brent, read it up. If he's there.
Chirp.
Chirp.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp. 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 This happens once an episode, by the way. Brent will just randomly leave without bothering to tell me. And then I'll just, you know, talk bad about him until he's actually back on the call. Or maybe he just muted himself by accident and he's not even going to realize it for a little bit here. But anyway, let me just tell you about all the times this has happened with Brent. It's happened on, like, let's see, at least like 7 to 12 of the episodes he's been on. So this just happens on a regular basis. Hi, Brent. How are you? Are you there? You there? You there? You there? You there? Brent. 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 Brent.
Chirp. Chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp.
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 Chirp, chirp, chirp. Is he back?
No.
Oh.
Shit, man. You know what? I'm going to take this as an opportunity to refill my water glass. So hopefully by the time he's back, I'll have it filled up because the kitchen's right next to me anyway. I don't even have to put my headphones.
You make some Jiffy Pop in there. What's in the fridge, Brent? Oil that hinge.
Yeah, you heard that?
Yeah.
All those are all the badges I got from different, like, conventions.
Badges?
Yeah.
Badges. We don't need no stinking badges.
I just realized Brent kind of lives in a little spice, rack. Like a little spice room. So small, you can put spices in it. Do you ever wake up and like there's groceries around you?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Every other Tuesday.
Mom, there's lamb llama beans in the bed.
You know what? I'm hanging up on him. And I'm calling him again. All right. You know what? If he comes back, he comes back. I'm just gonna keep on going here. I mean, the only other thing I can think of is that he fell asleep. So, because I mean that happened last episode. To tell you the truth, I mean last episode.
Is it really?
Yeah, it happened last episode, but that happened early on in the episode. I mean, here he was talking, he was active, he seemed awake, and then all of a sudden, you know, I don't hear him anymore. So that's my only other option. So I might try calling him again in another 10 minutes or something. But for now, I'm just gonna keep on reading. So, all right.
Maybe we offended him. Maybe I should not have called him a weenie.
Eh, it's okay. I call him a weenie once a week.
Maybe you fell down and can't get up.
I've fallen, but I can't get up. What is he, Urkel? You know, they just put Family Matters on Nick at Night.
Oh, I'm not sure, but I could have sworn I had my television on for a bit tonight, and I swear they're syndicating ALF now. Alien Lifeform, yeah, ALF.
Yeah.
Sponsored movie.
Here, tell Brent how you want him to be back on the call.
Brent, I want you to be back on the call. Where are you? Brent.
Building up progress, dude.
Yes.
You know, if I was to gonna like have a heart attack or something, I'd at least have some courtesy to say, hey guys, I'm gonna go away for a minute.
Yes. Unless of course you're making love to your girlfriend, then we understand.
You know, when you start thinking you're better than somebody else, that's when it can cause issues.
Unless they're a drug dealer.
Or a crack whore.
Yeah.
Or a smoker.
Or, even worse, a drug dealer crack whore who smokes.
or a crack dealing drug whore that smokes cracked drugs.
Okay. Now this is just getting too much for me.
Yeah, I know.
And whoa, there's Brent saying what the fuck. So let's see. Here we go.
Ring. WTF?
Yeah. Where were you, Hello? Brent? Dude, did you fall asleep again?
I fell asleep.
You fucker.
Yeah.
Oh my god, man.
Sorry, dude.
You were doing so good, too.
Can I get up?
You were doing so good.
I don't know what the hell.
Yeah.
All of us went to your house and banged on the door and broke a couple of windows.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you were right, because all of a sudden you just weren't there.
Brent, I didn't really care. I just kind of wanted to move along. I was like, you know, hey, screw him, baby.
You know why?
The ship has moved.
I had the lights out. I don't know why the lights were out.
Well, that's probably a good way to fall asleep, yeah.
Brent, I need for you to grab a nostril hair and yank on it, and that'll wake you up right away. Well, go.
And just so you know, Brent, you're going to have some really fun voicemail messages, because I left a few. You know, you had 15 minutes left to go and you fell asleep, which is better than last time when you fell asleep like halfway through, so that's not bad.
Yeah, Brent, you let everyone down.
Yeah.
I know.
No, but seriously, just enjoy the cell phone messages I left you, man. Because the first one, I'm like, yeah, I hope you're not dead, bye.
I'll save him for tomorrow.
He was very worried about it, Brent.
Yeah. Well, come on, man. I mean, when you stop talking all of a sudden, you know, right in the middle of my thing there, and you're still logged on, and, you know, your internet didn't die, I think one of two things happened. Either you fell asleep, either your girlfriend came over and you decided you'd rather have sex than talk to us, or you're dead. And I don't think option two is plausible, so it's got to be one of three.
Yeah.
Now,
number two.
Were your headphones still on the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah. How many times did you guys call me?
like six. Like six times.
Yeah, I definitely was asleep through that. Right in my ear.
Do you have the Skype noises on? So you probably even heard them.
Yeah.
Like, dur, 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 dur,
dur. Slept through it. Totally slept through it.
You know what Canada calls us? Mexico touchers.
Yeah, Frank is quickly going the way of Brent. He's about to fall asleep.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Well, hey, nice having you guys on. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, thank you.
Mate, see you later, Brad.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
All right.
How does this stupid thing work? I don't...
Okay. They're really awesome.
They are.
Yeah. All right. Next time you get a nod off, just let me know ahead of time, all
right? Yeah, like I totally fucking planned that. Yeah.
I know you didn't, man. It's just like, holy shit. Because I was just like, all right, and for Equinox, let's throw it over to Brent. Brent.
Cricket.
Brent. Frank said, Frank thought that perhaps we said something to offend you.
Can you talk to Dad?
Yeah, just 1 second, honey. Honey, get off me.
Brad's missing all this.
Hello, son.
Hey, Dad.
I'm starting just a little worn out.
You sound sober, though, this time. That's nice. It's a nice, refreshing difference.
Well, you know, your mom wanted everything to go right this time. So, no drinking.